All right, we're back to open session at 8:59.
Okay, you have a copy of the retreat agenda, and before we get started, I want to just take a chance to check in with you about that. I did give for you a meeting purpose, a meeting non-purpose, and for this particular workshop, we thought, Erica and Drew and I met and felt that we probably should start with goals first, and then if we get through the goal piece, then being able to start unpacking that or really developing the action steps around those goals, we could get started on that today as well. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to talk about kind of day-to-day stuff in this meeting. That may come later, or, you know, when I say day-to-day, I mean really board work, not administrative work. But I also wanted to give you a chance to talk about your expectations for retreats. You know, these are the opportunities that you have to have less formal, deeper dialogue on matters of importance to you. So as we go forward and have further retreats, what is it you want to make sure we do and keep in mind? So that's really the first item under the meeting overview.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense for everybody?
Okay. Okay. So we're going to hit each of these topics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. We also need to set norms, which I think we do at every meeting. And I didn't create any norms, but I thought you might want to establish some norms for yourself, and I can just put them up on the chart paper. You call meeting working agreements, norms, whatever it is you, mm-hmm. you use in your language of work.
Well, to step back a little bit, I think when I sent out that agenda, I think that's what I thought was important. Mm-hmm. Without knowing what a board retreat really is, I thought that might be what we would do. But I think now, knowing a little bit more about it, I think for me, it would be picking a topic of interest and then just literally fleshing it out more would be something to do. So if we're struggling on an issue, then maybe that would be the subject of a retreat. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Or an issue or something that's, you know, like consolidation, you know, something that's coming down.
Anything.
Or whatever the state might be throwing at us and, you know, mm-hmm. how we might want to address it.
Mm-hmm. Which for me is a point of order, I guess. I don't know. Is that something that you would do in closed session, or is it something that you would dedicate a working meeting?
We can only go into closed session for certain.
Or depends on the time.
We're allowed to go into closed session for certain topics.
For these written in this paragraph, that's what it is. So if it doesn't fit in that, we can't do a closed session. We have to do it some other form.
Let me see which paragraph.
Oh, there's a whole list. 20 items that we can legitimately go in closed session. Now, the board can go into closed session to talk about its work if we have an Illinois Association of School Board representative with you. And then that's the board's, like, evaluation, which we've done. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, the board did a self-evaluation.
And we did one before that, too.
And we did one before, right when I got here, we did one. And we should do one next year. Do it every other year. So then you can go into closed session and talk about yourselves. But otherwise, you have to do it in open. So topics like that you suggested, which are all great topics and I think fall under mm-hmm. the goals, have to be done in open session unless they legitimately, you know, fall into the kind of the specifics of it fall into your collective negotiations or something like that.
So you're talking about an employee of the ISBA?
IASB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not a representative like that I have.
No. Okay. Has to be a field rep. Yeah. Our field rep, who is John Castle, yeah, mm-hmm. would have to, or somebody right. like John Castle mm-hmm. would have to be here, a paid employee by.
We were given an online survey about board work that we all filled out, and then we went through that and talked about the results okay. with him.
And what we didn't do from that board retreat was set goals.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a lot about all the things that, you know, we had ideas around, but we never took the next step, which was to set goals. And so that's this meeting. It seems essential that you get your goals in hand. What is it that's important to you to work on? I would hope it's aligned with the long-range plan. That just makes sense. But that's how we do our work, is through goals and planning. So if the board can do that as well, that would be the first order of business. Then we can get into those other topics. Because then you have a lens to say, how does this topic relate to our goals? Mm-hmm. Is this a topic we should be spending time on? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't relate to our goals, maybe not. Or you change your goals. Mm-hmm. So, does that make sense? And so for future retreats, I think you're absolutely right. Topics of interest, topics that are, you know, mm-hmm. either hot topics in the state or federal level, or just topics that you think are important mm-hmm. for us, is perfectly appropriate conversation.
So is that what you mean by working agreement?
No. I think we were still
on something else by that, right?
I did, but I think Sam went back to okay. the first order of business, which was the retreat topics.
Working agreements to use among us. Mm-hmm. And so we generated a list of those.
We did. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good to do it every time you
have. They were good topics, Sam. I just think if we get like the high level themes and then fill in mm-hmm.
oh,
we get to that.
Sure. Yeah.
And just for historical perspective, we have done that over the 4.5 years that I've been here, too, under Tara and under Steve, a special meeting, because our regular board meeting doesn't allow for that kind of discussion, deep dive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And have to make everyone stay there till midnight, including us.
There's one more thing. John wanted to know if I could just dig up the old ones. I mean, it'll take us about 2 seconds to create this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guarantee it's at least 10 minutes.
Do you have a suggestion?
Open and honest with each other. That's mm-hmm. important. Mm-hmm.
You have another one?
Don't interrupt people who are speaking.
I was just speaking.
But you wanted to illustrate.
How about active listening?
Yeah. Good.
There you go. Don't interrupt.
Be proud of the meetings and don't bring in food and tempt anybody else.
Oh, that used to drive everyone crazy. I would just bring a bag of Taco Bell just around.
No, but junk food.
I think we had another one. Don't dominate the conversation.
Can I use watch your airtime?
Mm-hmm. You can use your... Why don't you just pull out your little cardboard thing that you have for your training?
This might align with active listening, but it's something that I've been thinking about, too, for me. But I'll put it up there, too, for everybody. How do I want to say this? Willingness to listen to each other and maybe probe that a little bit before adding on to it. So in other words, you know, when Sam's talking, there's some pieces in there that I probably want to know more about, and before I or somebody else says my next issue on the topic, to stop and really draw that out a little bit, because it could be the very thing I'm thinking about. So probe. Watch that.
Be respectful when you're talking to someone.
I'd say to explain acronyms.
Explain acronyms?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Help the new guy keep up.
Yeah, explain acronyms.
Good one.
I'll try not to use them.
Mm-hmm.
In a month, you'll know them all.
Dan, anything?
Well, I'm trying to think of something along that starts with encourage.
Are you is there a word that's going down?
Are you making a poem here?
Something like
all
voices heard?
Yeah, like encourage.
Encourage all voices to be heard.
Good.
Didn't we used to have a poster or something?
That's the norms for collaboration. Yeah.
I think when you have a working agreement with a group, whatever the decision is made, you support it. You don't go back and try to sabotage it if you're in the minority opinion. Mm.
And then maybe time sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You said the word sensitive, that scares me. Why?
Be time sensitive or be cognizant?
Do we have timekeeper? Stay focused.
Stay focused.
Mm-hmm. I'm the timekeeper.
We got them all?
Anything else?
Now I have to ask, these things, as long as I've been here, none of these have been a problem. So has it historically been a problem?
Mm-mm. No, just
no.
So we're just reminding ourselves of
behave nicely. Okay. Yeah. And Sam, it's a little bit of what we talked about when I called you to talk about the board retreat and give you kind of a heads up. And I think one thing I said to Sam was, it's a different year in terms of newness because we have one brand new colleague on the board, and so there's that onboarding process for Sam, you know, and John's returning, so that's a little bit different dynamic there. So. You know, I think it's important to do this type of thing because we don't want to assume that it's all, you know, the same working relationship because it's not one person always or two, you know, two people always kind of shift that a little bit. So.
Well, and even when you're comfortable and you observe those things, I mean, we tend to do this at meetings just to remind ourselves and mm-hmm. And help us stay focused.
Right.
We do it at the beginning of LLTs and CIT at the beginning of those years, those groups do those things. So
we do it at our institute days.
Right. In an effort to stay consistent.
We ask teams to do it at grade level. Their grade level team meetings have norms that they that's important. They need it.
Yeah.
Okay. We can add to these if we feel we need something and check in at the end of the morning to see if we observe them.
Okay. The next item on here is to talk a little bit about priorities. So if we just take maybe 10 minutes for each of you to share what your priorities are and how it will relate to our goal setting work. And if you have, you know, there's usually a context for your priorities. So if you can share your context for them for that priority as well. So, you know, in my conversations with some of you, you have expressed to me priorities that you have for board work and your personal kind of goals. So that's really what we want to put on the table at this time is to get some of that out so we understand each other a little bit better. So I'll just ask for a volunteer to start. And I'm not going to chart that unless it seems we need to.
Well, I'll volunteer not to volunteer. Since I want to see what everyone else
does. You'll volunteer not to volunteer?
Exactly.
Okay. So you want to go last? Is that what you're saying?
Not first.
Okay.
Motion.
Okay. Second. Does that mean, John, does that mean you want to go first? Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking.
I mean, I don't know. I've thought about 10 minutes worth of priorities. I think being on the board 4 years, I've probably become more accustomed to, you know, and more comfortable with the way that, you know, the priorities you set with your staff that I don't feel I'm interested in knowing every detail, you know, that you've gone through them already and are telling us what we need to know that's an anomaly or things that you feel is something the board needs to give you direction on. And in general, I guess I have more of a philosophy that I'd really like to let, you know, I trust the professionals to really think through a lot of things. And unless, you know, I feel it's way off, I'm not going to feel I have to tweak it too much or anything. You know, even though I think, you know, I still give you opinions on things, I'm not just rubber stamping anything that comes out. But, and it may have taken a few years to get to that mode. I think when I first came on the board, I was probably more interested in a lot more details of things. But, and, you know, it may take a while to get to that point. And I can't say everyone's going to feel the same way about that. But, you know, in terms of just board work, I guess that's more of a philosophy I have. You know, in terms of other priorities we have, I mean, academically, I think I just want to improve on what's been done already. I think a lot of processes have been put in place that are really moving the district forward, creating, you know, for better or worse, standards that all the schools are teaching the same things, although I know there's sometimes people say some teachers may not have the freedom to do some things they want, that they feel that they want to go above and beyond or something. So, but unfortunately, like a lot of things, you kind of have to have a lowest common denominator sometimes to make sure everyone's meeting certain things, and that sometimes, you know, people have issues with that. But I think we're working through those issues. But, you know, in terms of long-range plans, just continuing to build on what we've done, create processes that, you know, you've got a functioning organization then that, that especially since we know we will have a new superintendent in a few years, can kind of step in and keep cultivating that culture. There's not a need for, you know, and looking forward to the next 2 years, there's not a need that somebody feels they have to come in and fix a bunch of stuff. You know, it's more keeping the fine-tuning what's going on. And so I want to do that. And obviously, you know, in facilities, I mean, I don't know if we have a short-term fix, but obviously, if enrollments stay where they are, we can't keep students in portable classrooms. And we have to build a permanent structure somehow. And I think we've done a lot of work in looking to what that needs to look like. It's just a matter of presenting some options to the community. I don't know if that's the type of thing you're looking for.
That's great.
So facilities, academic, like I said, I think I don't have any major issues there. I think we've done a lot of things, continuing just to build on what we've done. You know, in terms of finances, you know, I think I understand a lot about the finances. I think we're in a pretty good place. If you look at all the parameters that are there, that, you know, we are. There's a lot of misunderstanding when people just look at their tax bill and equating that to what the district's expenses per pupil are. That, you know, what's spent per student will really affect what someone's ultimate tax bill is in dollars, district by district, based on the makeup of that community and how much residential property versus commercial property and others. That there's more of a metric than just fund balance. But in general, I think the board's been, you know, good at looking at what we're spending money on. We've obviously pared back on a lot of expenses in the last few years in terms of personnel, administrative personnel, and other things. So I think we're in a good place there. I hope a lot of what we're doing isn't dependent on the personnel who are in place, that it's more than just the process, that you have to have the right individual that can function at that level, that just plugging in somebody else may not get the same results we've had. So that's obviously a concern, but for the most part, your administrative staff's been pretty stable, and your hires have done pretty well in that regard, also the new people that have been brought in. So I don't know. I guess that's about it.
I wasn't clear what the priority. I didn't hear like a bulleted priority out of that.
Bulleted priority of what?
Well, we're talking about priorities that lead to goals. So I was unclear to me.
My goal is really build on the current long range plan. You know, refine it, start digging into more details, kind of like we do with the scorecard right now. And I guess I just tried to provide a little glossary on it. Going first, I'm trying to. I'm not following what somebody else did. I'm kind of throwing things out.
I have priorities that I think
he stated was
the long range plan,
okay.
As a priority to implement the long range plan, to build a sustaining culture, so that what we've done is continuing, that it doesn't, you know, and then facilities.
And which ties into finances too a bit. So I don't really know how else to do it as a board member. You know, make sure, you know, monitor and you report what's going on in those respects. I can't bring some dying issue that, you know, I feel the community wants to see a big change in something. So, or I personally feel needs to be done. So that's my own.
Thanks.
I'll go next. I actually would share Steve's priority. I think for me personally, my priority for myself as an individual board member is to keep the next 2 years that I'm here positive and not dwell on the negative pieces of what it is that we do and try to have a positive 2 years, because there's a great deal of change that is happening and will happen. And so I just, for me, that's it. Supporting the long-range plan, I mean, within the long-range plan, there are so many components to it, from an academic perspective, you know, implementing the new curriculum, and again, as an individual board member participating on LLT, I see it as my responsibility to help foster that and to get it to move quicker when possible. I have a new appreciation for speed with staff. But I'm not saying I'm not going to back off on it. I'm just saying I have a different appreciation for their perspective. As far as priority in facilities, I, you know, will be completely honest in that I believe a new building should be built, not on Spalding property, and that it is a function of this community that needs to happen and needs to happen for the kids, both long-term, academically, every which way. It's a positive thing, but I'm also extremely realistic about that prospect of that even occurring, despite our best efforts. And for me, another priority is focusing on, we have two contracts that will be coming up, and within those contracts, focusing on the sustainability of the economics of it. But on the flip side of that is also to make sure that those contracts also advocate 21st century learning, which is what a school district is about. And my last priority as a board, I think I'm hoping that we can continue to be positive stewards in the community and communicate in a positive way what is happening. And John, you know, brought up before about walking out of here, and even if you're in the minority, you still have to support whatever the decisions are. And I really hope, and I think this is a priority for me and hopefully others, is to stop the community negative chatter, the message boarding, the nastiness, the barroom conversations, because that doesn't help us at all. It doesn't help the district, and it doesn't help us as a board. So for me, that's a priority, is to stop that chatter in the community.
Thank you.
Let me
go in. It's kind of hard to follow the parents, so I will go for her presentation. I'll try. I have two goals. Everything kind of is driven by those two goals. I think one of them is the honor to defend, to maintain, and modify as necessary the district's long range plan, because I think everything that that does ties back to kind of the board work. I think it's important that we all buy into the long range plan, and if we need to make modifications as time and issues present themselves, I think we need to do that. But at the same time, have a respect for what the long range plan has been for the last 3-4 years. My second one really is more of an economic goal, which is that's my background, that's what I understand, and that would be to establish, maintain a sustainable economic model based on sound financial planning and reasonable economic growth.
I started a list a few times back, so some of this is not very, some of it's a little all over the place, but I'll tell you some of the thoughts I have. I think, you know, for me, I think that one of the things that I would like to explore, let's say, is our committee structure. I don't really, to be honest, see the value of our committees, with the exception of finance.
You're saying board committees? I didn't interrupt.
Yes.
Board
committees. Our committees. I just don't see the value in outside of finance. I don't even know if, you know, Karen sees any value in a board member being on LLT, or whether the administration sees any value in having board members on policy, and would like to explore, you know, whether that's the right structure. I've got some ideas for other committees, such as, you know, and I know to some of you guys this sounds like high level, and what does that mean? And that would be part of the work, but, you know, the localization committee, consolidation, integrating with the high school, 21st century learning, these are just some ideas I was throwing out. I also feel that the teacher contract is obviously a priority and a goal. And under that, you know, for me, some of the things I'm interested in is a longer school day, maybe adding more days to the calendar.
John, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to just make sure that we don't get into negotiation topics.
Yeah, okay. Well, so forget the contract itself, but just...
The contract is a priority.
Yeah, the contract's a priority. You know, curriculum to me will still be the biggest focus. I think, and you know, this is not a negative thing that I'm saying here, but I think a lot of our work over the years has been getting it. You know, we kind of started realizing maybe we didn't have a consistent curriculum, we didn't have a set of standards, so we've kind of found very, you know, what I call foundational stuff, right? And you need a foundation. But at some point, you got to start to optimize and you know, I don't know what the right education words are, but so some arts and music, I've thrown out to you guys, and you know, someone has raised a good counter to that is that, you know, by the kids graduate eighth grade, they should learn how to play an instrument. That could be part of our, you know, a part of our curriculum. Some people say, well, you want your kids to do that, then they can take music lessons, and I get that, right? So, I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas. Having seen that orchestra thing that the kids do, you know, that was just amazing to me. I had my cousin who's a principal at a school in Europe, and, you know, when he saw that, he was like, wow, you know. Mm-hmm. Science, of course. Just a huge weakness in our country. Like to see more exploration of e-learning. And for me, that's not a substitute for teaching, and it's not a substitute for it's more of an addition to. I always had a vision of having e-learning as a part of what we do, either, you know, after school, over the summer, or whatever. So that was one of mine. School model, I don't know if this touches on negotiation. I don't, you know, for me, the school model, you know, I think you call it egg cartons. To me, it's just, it's got to go, or it's got to change. I don't see the value of differentiation. You know, I think that just makes it harder for everybody. When I think of a K-5 teacher that's got to know 7 different subjects or 6 or whatever the number is, and then differentiate that by 2 or 3 groups, it just, to me, just does not seem sustainable. Special education, I think we have to make that easier. And what I mean by that is some of the parents I've talked to recently, and I don't talk to a lot of parents, right? I mean, I'm not out there, but it just seems they feel like it's very, very hard to get through the process and to get their kids in it. So I just feel somehow we got to make that easier.
John, what do you mean by that?
Set up an IEP.
No, the IEP process seems kind of cumbersome, and you know, they feel like they got it. And again, this is a sample of like 4 people, right, that I've recently been interacting with. But just that whole process of getting the IEP set up, and you know, it's almost like what, you know, what one parent said to me is that you have to, you know, you have to really fight and prove that, you know, hey, it's time, you know, it's been 3 years and my kid can't do this, and, you know, I got to work so hard to get them on this form or this program to get someone to finally say, oh, okay, you know. Even if maybe someone in the school recognizes it and says, yeah, you're right, but you got to go through this process. I don't know if that's fair. It's just, it's a data point.
Aren't you differentiating them, the IEP students from other students?
Well, I've always had the vision that every child should have an IEP. So
we're getting pretty close to that.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, RTI is now federal law, response to intervention, which requires that a child cannot be, I mean, that gets you at that individual IEP practically, is response to intervention is that every child basically has a plan to meet his or her needs. So if a child is struggling, you have to go through 3 tiers of intervention before a child can even be considered for a case study. So there is, you know, I don't disagree with that comment from a parent, but that's the federal law, and then the law around what you must do once you're in the IEP process is very particular. And
Right, and what I'm saying is, I understand that it's, you know, let's use the term bureaucratic, whatever. So that process is hard, right?
Yes.
And the question is, my thinking is, how can we make that easier for parents as a school district? I don't know if,
yeah,
you know.
Well, one thing that we have to always keep in mind, too, is that our goal would be for kids not to be in special ed if they don't qualify. You want students in the gen ed.
Sure.
Population.
Sure.
So if sometimes parents want an IEP where there may not be a legal qualification for that IEP, and you know, that's one of the difficulties.
And I guess, you know, I just get sensitive to the words legal, and it's like if some kid needs something, we ought to make that easy, right? That, and it just seems in the special ed area, it just seems to be harder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tougher subject to deal with,
mm-hmm,
right? Superintendent search, obviously, a key goal. You know, Steve mentioned this a little bit, which actually kind of made me start to look through some of the things some lists I put together in the past, but you know, we are the number one expense for everybody in this community, you know, bar none in terms of taxes. And
property,
you know,
taxes.
Property taxes, yeah. And, yeah. And there's a value to what we do. And how we communicate that value or get that value story out, you know, it's something we got to work on. More athletics at Hadley. You know, again. Kind of practical, maybe.
Breath or deaf?
Huh?
Breath or deaf?
I don't know the current state enough to say whether it be breath or deaf, but one thing, for example, is sixth graders. You know, more options for sixth graders. So that, you know, and again, I don't have the answers. I'm just saying that to me that would be something that I would like to see. Foreign language, you guys know I've always felt that we should be doing that. Yeah, I think I said this earlier a little bit about just what we've done around curriculum has been foundational, so I'd like to get to a higher level around that. I think this whole concept of the loss of knowledge over summer is something that we, you know, would be a goal of how do we maybe utilize e-learning, or, you know, I've got one teacher who says, you know, here, think about doing this over the summer so that when you come next year, you're more prepared, right? And that's remember what you did and maybe a little what you might be doing. I've got another teacher who hasn't done anything, right? So I think that would be a goal for me, would be to try to, you know, I know some parents, you know, especially your first kid, get out of first grade and you go get that summer packet, what's it called? That
bridge.
Those bridge books, right? And you think, okay, I'm a good parent, right? And then, so that,
I think that would be another area for me. I think I said longer days. And then, you know, I'd like for us in some times or to kind of challenge the state or, you know, challenge what the state's telling us. So, you know, for me, ISATS is a perfect example. Right, you know, if it were up to me, guys, if I could get 7 votes and break the law, I would just throw away ISATS. See what happens. Just to challenge.
Our funding would dry up. And
do what?
Our funding would dry up.
We don't get federal funding.
Okay.
We don't get that much anyway.
Who cares? you know, maybe those extra time and days might get us something else, and the committee might say, you know what, I'm good with it. You know, if the federal funding is another $100 a year by everybody, or, you know, might be good by that. So that's just a list, you know, those are the ones I'm sharing.
May I summarize that, like in a kind of a package a little bit, and see if it matches?
Can I ask one question? I mean, you talk about finances. Are all these desires cost neutral to the current expenditure levels?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I'm not. If your question is, if this costs us more, would I support it? Absolutely. What am I in a position of saying? I want it to cost us more. Is the only way I'll support it? Of course not. You know, you want to try to do this as best as you can without. It's just getting more value out of what we do.
So 3 priorities, really, overall. Committee, board committee structure, teacher contract, and then the broad area of curriculum under which you had many ideas, deepening our work, expanding or optimizing our work in the curriculum, looking at our school model, making special education easier, communicating, well, wait, those are different priorities. Athletics, foreign language, summer learning, and so that all kind of comes under curriculum. And then superintendent search is a priority, communicating our value is a priority, and kind of taking on the state a little more actively is a priority.
Yeah, and for me, it's not taking on the state, it's doing it right for our district. And that conflicts with the state, and then let's talk about saying, okay, we lose that funding. Mm-hmm. We might all say, that's stupid, right?
Have you been to a lend meeting? I mean, Peggy Asnos goes downstate to talk to the legislators, right, about
that might be actually, John, a really good place for you to,
yeah,
and they do it early in the morning.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock at the case. Well, it's 7:15 the meeting starts, but we
yeah, I used to, so. I did that for a while, the first year or whatever. What's her name? Marcus.
Danae.
We actually drove downstate once, and this was when we were talking about
construction funding.
And, you know, this for me is local versus state politics, but I was a little disappointed down there because basically they told us, you know, in not so many words, man, you guys are a wealthy community. Nobody's really going to care about you. And as legislators, they're not going to be able to get anything done, you know, for us that way. And I was like, okay, that's when I kind of came back and said, let's go look for private money or, you know.
Right. No, but what I'm saying, though, John, is it might give you a place to at least hear what's being said, yeah, and what's being, yeah, what they're telling us we have to do.
Right.
And then being able to interpret that more creatively into what, mm-hmm, would be better for us and, yeah, how we can utilize that.
Yeah, a better avenue for actually making change that can kind of happen besides the school board passing a proclamation or something that they disagree with, mm-hmm, the state legislature, which isn't going to do anything.
Right.
And I used to get that email. I don't get it anymore, but I used to get an email.
The Lund email?
From Lund.
Do you get the summary from Ben Schwab?
I used to get that, but
we get those,
that legislative update?
That's in our packet.
Well, you get the SNS news. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. School, yeah, and you get two state newsletters, but not, mm-hmm, Lend. So I can we can just forward Lend on to everybody.
And I would say that what's been interesting, John, this year, especially in the last year, is the request from Peg Agnos to really have boards, you know, we get those notices, you know, make your calls, et cetera. I know that I've put that on the table the last 4 years. I remember when Steve and Bob and I were running, the question came from the community at the League of Women Voters Forum, you know, what's your philosophy about, you know, engagement with state legislators, et cetera, around school-based issues. And, you know, it was my philosophy. It still is. I think I'm even more strongly, I agree with John. We don't work in a vacuum. We have to engage. And Sandra Piho says this all the time when we're in meetings, you know, a call makes a difference, you know. There was a letter that I requested the board all sign in on when they were talking about that change in the assessment that our teachers, our foreign language teacher, our ELL teacher said, this is horrible. We can't do this. You know, I mean, our board can have some voice in that collectively, so we have to...
That was the bilingual study group.
Bilingual study group. So, yeah, I agree with John. That's on my list, too, is to broaden our voice, because we have a lot of great information from Peg and from Lend, and they go down there based on our interests. So that would be good, John, if you want to start to go to some of those, that would be great. I can think about that.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Oh.
Sorry, I mean, the reserves is, I think someone's going to bring that up anyway, but that's one thing that we have to decide on.
Since we're just talking priorities, not goals, I don't have a lot, but you know, one thing I've always talked about is, and we've heard today a little bit, is the financial sustainability. Just making sure that we have a long-term vision. I've heard the number 20 years or whatever thrown out before we would begin to see a forecast of deficits. As of right now, I think it's like just 4 or 5 target that we're able to keep pushing out, but would like to see that pushed out, you know, a little bit longer. The other thing is communication, and I guess more specifically on two-way dialogue with the community, getting more of that happening specifically.
Did you explain that?
You know, just like right now, we have, you know, e-blasts, you know, the board meeting notes and stuff like that. I see a lot of, I guess, more formalized one-way communication. And so my priority for me is getting more of that two-way dialogue. One, in terms of getting the community more engaged in our monthly board work, but two, in terms of when we start looking at a referendum for a building, instead of not having those public open forums right before that happens, but have it as an ongoing basis so that, you know, the community can't say, I didn't know this was going to go on, you know, coming and getting angry or whatever, just getting more of a two-way conversation. And then the facilities as a priority for me. It was a, you know, a topic when I ran for the board. We've done some work on it, and I'd like to see that done sooner rather than later. I'm just concerned that, you know, facility actions get moved out, then you get a community that gets disenfranchised with participating in groups and seeing no action. So that's all I got.
Sam?
I would mirror that, I think. For me, it's almost a campaign platform in the... The facilities issue is my issue, right? I think, now that I've sat here for a while and realized it. I understand the curriculum is what it is, and I think we as a board probably need to let the administration do that if we're going to focus on some things. I do think it's the facilities. Obviously, we need another building. You know, we talk about the, you know, attendance levels and its population up or down, and from what I've been able to read in the last 10 years, people have been talking about that, and it's not going up, it's maintaining. So that, to me, that's not an issue anymore. The issue is that, as Steve said, we have to get rid of these portable classrooms. And I do agree with Tara that Spalding is not an option. I think the only option we have really is a new middle school. And well, we can talk about that later. But I think the facility is the biggest issue, of course. Now, speaking to that, how do you get there, and what's the perception of the community to get us there? And for me, probably the goal would be to obviously have to have a referendum. How do you get a referendum passed? You have to have community backing. So you have to have, as Dan was saying, a little more, I don't know, a little more communication, but maybe something to spark a little more interaction from the community to the board. We have to kind of show them, it's almost quid pro quo. You have to show them something to make them be able to trust us or trust the board to say, well, this is the right way to go, this is how much it should cost. You know, to that end, you have the contracts, obviously, new administration, new administrators that are going to have to be found in the next 2 years. And I think that all goes together. So, to that end, to the new facilities priority, I think it's got to be sooner than later. I wouldn't, you know, I understand the process, but I would say as soon as you possibly can do it, there needs to be a referendum to get this going. So, you know, tomorrow's not too early for me. But and I do understand there is a process that needs to be done. I mean, we can talk about the curriculum. I wrote down standards-based report cards. I still have some issues with, not with the entire thing. I just tweak it a little bit here and there. And I don't even know if we can even do that. Is it something that can be changed? Is it a flowing document? Is it, you know, set in stone? I don't know. If it is, I'd like to explore that. Gifted program, I understand it's set by the state. Is that correct?
No.
Isn't it 5%? It's not?
Well, the research around giftedness is that really 5% is even pretty generous. The top 3%, really 3% of your general population probably falls into a gifted definition. We use 5% as our kind of.
And sometimes we're in some schools we're at 4%, right? I mean, I know some of the years I was in we were at 4%. So
because the number of students.
Yeah,
but there's no standard of what a gifted curriculum be.
And
our regular
no
curriculum
the
could be a gifted curriculum in another district.
Okay. So, all right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. To add in that, I would like to see the program expanded. Maybe even renamed, advanced, whatever, anything other than.
I'm about dropping.
something like that. In the foreign language, as John brought up, that's already in the long range plan, as I know.
Yeah, it is. It's just, I'm just saying more of my priorities. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Foreign language.
It's
plan. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that to me, those are my priorities. Now, a different question. And your administration created the long-range plan, right? It's not a board document.
It's a whole district document.
It's a whole district document.
Okay.
The administration created the action plan.
Okay.
Because that's their work plan. They have responsibility for carrying out the plan. The long-range plan was created in conjunction with our continuous improvement team. And focus groups that were district-wide focus groups, and had a community focus group, had a parent focus group. So it really, it is the board's plan as well, but the board didn't create the plan. It is a collaboration.
Okay. How long has this been in existence?
Well, my first year here, we built the first five-year plan, which John kind of alluded to foundational, and I would absolutely agree with that we didn't have curriculum in place. And the board directed me at that time to build a long-range plan around three areas: financial health, relations, and academics. We've kept that broad three area focus, because really they are the drivers of our work. And then the first long-range plan really was mostly administratively driven, because we needed, the board gave me the direction, my administrative team created the plan. This renewal looked at where we come in the first plan in that 5 years, what's the next step? And the belief that came from that work was, we're headed in the right direction, we need to kind of deepen the plan now, broaden it.
I might add one comment, Sam. In terms of, at least when Eric and I were in negotiations, it's a collaborative effort more than, you know, a process in place where you say, well, the administration says we should do this, and now, well, where does the teachers union come in as a check and balance, you know, that we approve it. We got away from that. It's a, everyone puts into this one process. It's not, here it is, do you approve of it? We're all working on it together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so I think I've covered what I need to cover.
Okay. Okay. Well, actually, John just gave me a good segue because... singing?
Sorry.
No, that's right. I said John just gave me the segue to share my thoughts, because when you came in, you were humming or singing the song you were just singing, Change is Coming. So I'm not sure what that means, whether you heard it on the radio when you were singing it, because
from,
you came in
Memphis,
with it.
The play.
Yeah. The show Memphis?
Yeah, Memphis the Play on
yeah.
Broadway.
It's good. But as you were humming it, I was thinking, you know, that there's a lot that I was thinking about coming into this. I mean, it was helpful to be in conversation with Ann about how to have this meeting. I think this is really important for us to meet in June because it coalesces our energy a little bit. We go away, we refresh. We come back in August, hopefully like Ann's team, and have some break in their thinking. And we all know when we're working on work projects, you need to take a step back from it and come back to it with a fresh set of eyes. So I feel like this is a chance for us to come together, go away, and come back. So I guess this is in the context that Ann asked us to share. The context of my comments are that I feel a weightiness to our work. There's a, in a good way, an intention in what we're having to accomplish. And Sam, I'll pick up on what you just finished saying, which is this very clear sense of priority, no qualification. The work's been done. The due diligence was started 12, 15 years ago on facilities. The numbers are there. The voices have been heard. We have parents at West now that I talked to who have just graduated seniors like we did and have said, we're still watching. We still support it. So to your point, I feel that intention of our work, the spotlight's on us to move that forward. And so that's the context that I came in today with, is feeling a good sense of earnestness and intention, and then accountability, huge accountability. So I guess I'll start with communication, because I just think that's absolutely critical. I'll echo what everybody said about the importance of the dialogue and the, again, making it... easy for people to, contact us, et cetera. I would say, too, that as a board, I feel like we do a good job at getting back with people. I think we also, all, and I want this to continue, certainly for myself, and I think for all of us, is to be conscious of being smart about those interactions. You know, if I get an email like that parent who was, emailed that very lengthy email about the courtyard, I sat with it for, about 24 hours and wrote my response, and then I sent it off, and made sure Ann had it and Steve had it as board president, and so that we're having that collaborative conversation. We're not having these siloed conversations where we don't know what each other is saying. I think that's absolutely critical for us, because we are a board of seven people, and seven people, come together to, have these conversations, vet these issues, share priorities, and then we move forward with what we think is the right decision, based on all the data, so much more data than anybody else in the community has. And I think that's the other piece of communication that we need to leverage. The other piece of communication I think we need to continue, and was started, you know, back when I started on the board, when Steve and John were on finance committee, and that was this, and then when Bob Sola came, I was on too. This whole discussion around transparency, I think as a board, and maybe it's because there's this natural rotation, we forget the changes that have been made in positive ways, you know, the pluses that are out there. And I know that Julie put together a list of accomplishments in the district for the election cycle, so that, you know, we had some talking points and could remember, because it's 2 pages, 2.5 pages of documents of things that, you know, while we all bring certain priorities, some of these priorities in fact have come to fruition. So for me, that's another communication piece, is to continue that transparency, keep looking to improve that, and give that to Ann to share with her staff. So that's a communication issue with the community. If we could figure out how to get people to come 6 times a year to a board meeting, like the same person 6 times a year, that would be a measure of success for me. In part because, and I remember saying this as a community member at a board meeting one time, that when you start to hear the ongoing dialogue of the district, you know, why decisions are made, players, you know, program updates that we get, you know, it just naturally fills in some of the gaps. And so maybe there's a quantifiable, you know, goal on some level is to, I have no idea how we would do it, but is to really encourage that. Don't just, you know, hey, come. It's come because these really important stories are being told and understanding of the district that you care about. And so when you do come because it's a hot button issue, there's hopefully greater context to that. That would be my hope in communication. The last thing on communication for me is that I would like to see this board have again, intention, a kind of willingness to help community members move off of historical issues that don't help us move forward. And again, the referendum from 01 certainly comes up into this. But I asked the question in the last referendum at a board workshop, actually, and my question was, when does this administration get to move forward? And so I think that, for me, is very important, is to find a way to really be tracking forward, you know, again, based on all the work that's been done on this really important facility issue, et cetera. Another priority for me is this whole talent search. We've been calling it succession planning and succession management, which is a little bit different, but wanting to maintain you know, the culture that's been established, so that the new superintendent that comes in is really, you know, plugging into a process that they then put their stamp on, but doesn't need to make wholesale change to, because it works and it's foundational and it's built in. And so this, the talent piece of this, I think, is important, not only from that perspective, but also just wanting to be a district that has high expectations of talent, that we recruit for it, that we support it in terms of their learning and development, that we and maintain that, so that there's a focus on that. I think that's critical. And I guess this is an offshoot of that, and this is, you know, more of a learning curve for me. It speaks a little bit to what Steve said too. It's recognizing, again, with talent, the high level of professionalism and also the uniqueness of the work that school districts do, whether it's school-based finance, which is different than, you know, when we pull out a budget at our desk and go through it. You know, understanding that the folks in place really bring an acumen, a business acumen, to this work that we all respect, which we do. And I think that helps them do their job better, to know that we understand what goes into that and we support that and respect it. And then the last one, and this is not in order of importance, but I talk a little bit about the facility, and I would say that there's a facility and then finance. So facility, the additional thing is to really leverage, again, some of Sam's point, but to leverage the groups out there that have been working on this, not the least of which is the last MFP plan. So, John, the work that you did on MFP and that group and the folks that have come to board meetings periodically in the last few months to say, we want to keep your feet to the fire on this. That's a parent group, that's a community group that has a stake in that, has skin in the game because they spent so much time. But also, this is not ours. We have to have the courage to put that forward and say this is the right thing to do and have seven voices behind it. At the same time, we need to leverage those voices to say, you got to step up. We this is not ours to do by ourselves. And so how do we engage that? And I know Julie has some great models for community engagement, and that will be important. And then lastly, just this, the issues around finance, certainly this issue of sustainability. There's been a lot more in the paper. We were given kudos along with 89 and 87 around the whole transportation contract in the newspaper, which I think is tremendous because we rarely get that kind of good pub. So I actually cut it out and stuck it in my bulletin board.
The
letter to the editor.
Yes.
Yeah. Letter to the editor, the editorial.
The editorial.
You know, about it. Yeah. So
heralded.
Yeah, the heralded and the Glen Ellyn News Sun. Yeah, Wheaton's the Sun. I think it's those kind of things we need to celebrate. And so for me, part of the financial piece is continuing transparency and seeking to have that recognition status because that really puts us in an important league in terms of, again, school-based finance and what we're doing. But the last part of that for me is also using language that the majority of our community understands, which is, business ease, and that's around shared services. We do a lot of shared services, probably more under the radar than, we even recognize as a board. So my issue with communication, and I've talked to Julie about this too, is I understand that there's a desire to be smart about, what goes out there and what you call the press in on, et cetera. I don't always think we tell our story well enough in terms of those kind of things. So if we can continue to get that language out through finance committee and having people see that we're doing those kind of things, the FEMA dollars that we got for snow removal, $26,000 to almost $27,000 out of $39,000, that's huge. That's money that we don't have to take out of our operating budget. So those kind of things that maybe get lost, I think that's where, to Tara's point, being ambassadors for that kind of conversation. Thanks.
Pretty good job on timing. It's 10 o'clock.
Look at that.
I'm going to suggest that we don't do the bullet on current areas of accomplishment and alignment. We can come back to that at the end of our meeting if we have time. It is an area that I think is important. I think it relates to what Erica has said and what many of you have said around communication is, being cognizant of the things that we have accomplished and that you have led as board members and be able to be ambassadors. You'll see in the long-range plan, of course, ambassadorship is a goal unto itself and one we feel very strongly about as well. So you've identified, in summary, pretty much the same priorities. Mm-hmm. Financial sustainability. Curriculum that is strong and deep, and we have 21st century learning, and that facilities are hugely important. We heard that the contract will be important. I think that ties into to your financial goal, and then communication. Mm-hmm. So let's take a 10-minute break, and we'll come back and start in on goals.
All right, welcome back. I want to make one note on the events in progress that was with the Thursday letter on the board docs. There are two president's meetings scheduled, neither of which are accurate. Tuesday, June 21st, I'm out of town on this church trip that I'm going on. And then on the 28th, Anna's out of town. So we've rescheduled the president's meeting to June 30th, which is a Thursday at 7:30. So if there's anybody who can make it, wants to come, let us know, and we'll see you there. Whomever that individual is.
Just make sure you notify.
Yeah.
me,
yeah,
or Erica, that you'll
or
be
both of us. If we could make that protocol, if you want to come to President's and you can make it, which is great, you know, send a note to Anna, copy me, and that way we'll have it.
The issue is if two other board members show
right
up, you can't.
Right, we just have to make sure somebody.
We had one President's meeting where we left Anne's door open because it was an open meeting, so.
You know, on that note, just to let you guys know, I am on vacation from June 22nd to July 4th.
Okay.
And I am, again, on vacation from July 12th to August 1st. So I'm essentially here 2 weeks this summer.
Where in Europe are you going?
Well, one of the work trips, right?
No, all vacation.
August what?
Past Vienna, Salzburg.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
June 22nd through July 4th, July 12th through August 1st.
Are you reachable with your magic phone?
I am, absolutely.
Okay, moving on to the next section of our agenda, which is the board goal setting. And as I indicated in my Thursday letter, I offered three goals for consideration. It doesn't mean that they're the right goals, doesn't mean they're the goals you want, doesn't mean they're the language you want, just a way of stimulating our and getting ourselves started in conversation. So I think it's clear that we need a master facilities goal, since that was a priority for everybody. Maybe you'd like to have a little discussion around how you'd like that goal stated.
How do you want to start, Erica? Does it matter how we frame?
No, when Ann and I talked about this, and based on actually listening to everybody's priorities, which is why we put that first in the agenda, I think there are some things that bubbled up that come into buckets that make a lot of sense, and the first one is the facilities.
Okay.
If people have particular, reminding ourselves that a goal is high level, you know, we do the drill down in terms of the activities that we do with Ann, et cetera, but, you know, it is a board goal too, you know, whatever that statement is. I mean, Ann, developed this to get us started.
Okay.
But, is it not enough? Is it missing something? Is it whatever?
And what's the time frame for this? Is this every year? We're just doing this for the next 2 years out of the board?
Well, we don't have a precedent. I mean, we didn't have stated board goals the last 2 years. I would say the unstated board goal was to do all the facility work. It got moved to finance facility, came back to the committee of the whole for the board. That was really our board work, and so that was an unstated board goal. What we want to do is get back to formalizing board goals, in part because they set our work as a board, and then I think it helps, like John's list of ideas and things that are important and of ours can roll up into that.
Right, I guess I just want to make it clear. Are we stating goals to accomplish for the board in the next year or for the next 2 years?
It depends on what the goal is. This could, this short and long term certainly has a time frame more than a year. So it just depends on the goal. John, you were going to say something.
Well, I have a question. Do we feel that we have a master facilities model? Does anybody here feel, it's been 3 years of work. I'm not asking this to be a jerk, but do we feel we have a master facilities plan? In other words, I would hope we would say that there's a long-term plan of where we know we want to go and what the vision of what we want to do is. There's a short-term approach that we need to probably flesh out further in terms of what our next step is. But do we have a master facilities plan or not? Because to me, if we don't feel we do, that to me impacts the goal and the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what you guys think about that.
Well, I can say that there is a master facilities plan that I've read it. And to me, that would be a long-term plan. Because there's nothing specific in it. It's just that, we got to get rid of the portals. We got to, relieve the overcrowding. We got to worry about the class sizes. There is a plan.
Yeah, that's in
It's so it's long-term action plan that's there. Short-term is not there. I think it's my answer. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
I would just say one thing semantically. I think we always say portables aren't a long-term solution versus we got to get rid of them. You know what I mean? Maybe it's the same thing, but it's slightly different.
The same thing.
Well, there's a huge cost saying they're all going away next year. You know, versus looking at how, you know, you get the full investment that's been put in to put them up and other things like that versus a long-term.
I mean, that's fine. If there's some kind of lease that needs to be fully used, fine. But I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that we're going to build a school over here. So.
Same. I got to get rid of the portables. Gets a reaction to say, well, what's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. When you say they're not a long-term solution,
right.
It's a little different statement. That's all I'm saying.
So are you...
It doesn't get people to say...
I'm not sure that matters, John. Steve,
well, okay. I'm
this job.
When we start communication with the community and you go up and say, we got to get rid of portables, I'm just saying it evokes a different response from people.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're not a long-term solution. You know, they're not going to be here forever. We can't do this. We can't have a plan that uses them.
I think we're...
I don't want to get stuck up in semantics, yeah. But
I think
most of us don't say we got to get rid of them. We just say they're not a long-term solution.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I would think
that's the same thing.
I hear one as being more definitive than the other.
Being more diplomatic about and not trying to evoke a response from the person I'm talking to.
But about portables
and whether they're valid in any context.
Steve, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. I think we have used that language of they're not a long-term solution for a long time now. So
yeah.
That's the way we as...
For 10 years.
For years, that's what we've used. I think Sam is saying the same thing, but I think in the context of an open and honest discussion, I think that's kind of where he's coming from.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that's really... Just in the context of a board discussion of what we're trying to accomplish, that's where you're coming from.
So it gets at, and I think we're ahead of ourselves, we're ahead of the game, but it gets at not qualified. And
right.
So if that's a non-qualifying statement, we have to get rid of the portables, that's a statement.
Right.
Not a long-term solution is a statement as well. And so I think when we talk about communication, we get this plan underway, communication obviously will be a critical piece of it, and engagement, and language will be important at that time.
To answer your question in terms of long and short term, the Finance Committee did make a presentation to the Board of the Whole that addressed, which was kind of an adjunct or a corollary to the Master Facilities Plan, that all of the different options had been vetted, and within that document, there was both a short-term and long-term recommendations.
When was that done?
April.
Was it April? I think it was earlier.
February.
We had a deadline of January, and we did it in February.
February.
We said
right.
to the Finance Committee, "That's fine. Bring it to us in February, so that you feel like you can finish it off."
I actually think you were at that meeting.
Yeah,
I think you probably.
Yeah, it was more. I think it's a recommendation to the board from the Finance Committee,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right, because that was their charge to come back and say, "Here's
the actual."
I can send you the PowerPoint.
The plan's a plan, but to activate the plan is I'm supposed to not.
The other thing.
Do you want me to send you the PowerPoint?
If you can, for sure.
I guess the question that needs to be asked is it the priority? Is it the goal to get rid of the portables? And what's the plan to accomplish that? So I mean I think that's more a community discussion. I think that's where we need to start. Do we have consensus from the community that the community wants the portables, you know, phased out? If that's the charge, if that's the overlying
goal from the community, you know, we can implement a plan to accomplish that.
But I don't know if you're ever going to know that without actually having a referendum to say, is this what you want or not?
Well, I think that's, I think that opens, that opens a, that opens the door for community involvement to have that, to start that discussion in a community setting.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Drew. I think when I'm reading this goal, there's a piece in here for me that's missing. And I think it speaks to some of what you're saying, and that is we put a process in place with the Master Facility Planning Committee and community members, et cetera, faculty, staff, it was, you know, a large group. And people were invited to serve on that, and, you know, it turned out to be a larger group than we even expected. So we had weigh-in, consensus, here's what we've come up with, came to the board. Then it went to the, you know, Facility Master, the Finance Facility Committee. So for me, the piece that's missing is develop a detailed master facility plan based on the Finance and Facility Committee recommendations. That's the next, that was the step that was finished in February. And as a board now, we have that data. I mean, let's face it, we could study this ad nauseum and have 8,000 opinions. And it's going to turn and twist depend on all these external pressures, whether it's, you know, the number of parents we have supporting it, or it's economy, or it's whatever. You know, there's a bunch of different drivers that could impact that. So I feel like that this, on some level, we need to have this kind of really focus on, to show the community we've done the work. We're behind this work. Because if we're not, you know, there's, again, no point going back to Ann's team to yet again bring more data. I mean, I think, do we as a board believe in the data and the vetting the finance has done to say, based on that, here's then, you know, include to determine then short-term action plan, long-term action plan. That's our goal. That's our work.
And can I ask, I mean, Erica, you started that thought, and I'm wondering, do we have consensus that there isn't any more information that we need, or are there board members looking for more data that's out there before to enable us to move forward?
Mm-hmm. I think there's one piece of data that you have, which I have some information here, but was land. Mm-hmm. That was the last piece, and we've conducted our investigation. Well, we want to do a new demographic study in the fall. We decide to wait till the fall when we'd have, you know, the new housing, do the fall housing report for that. So to make it as current as possible. But yes, we need a fall study done. But I think in this goal, in my mind, you haven't made a couple key decisions. One is, where is it a new piece of land? And how are you going to pay for it? And two, is it a junior high, middle school, or is it an elementary school? You have to make those decisions. Then you can start really the detailed plan in timeline, short and long term, can be developed. So I feel like we have a master facility kind of overview, but the plan is not made yet.
And that's, so is that the language of this goal, that our, you know, challenge now is to put legs on this, is to make it concrete?
Well, and
based on this other data?
That's the question.
Right,
for you.
Right. And I guess that's what I'm going to ask as we're developing these goals. I mean, I feel like we have a tendency to come up with these lofty things, and even though we sort of have action plans, we don't hold to them. And I just want to make sure that as we're deciding, that's why I asked the question, is there more data that people are looking for? Because we can start down this process and then we get stopped again because, well, I want to see to this and I need to see to that. They won't, decisions aren't made because there's one more thing people are asking for. So I'm glad that you brought that up about it's still land and middle or elementary school. Again, I don't have an issue with the way this goal was written because it's so broad, but I feel like, okay, that's the main goal, but right away we have to, you know, give ourselves the time to say we have to answer the land and the middle or elementary school question in the next X number of months.
Mm-hmm.
So does anybody need any more information? I mean, I know so that we can then say, okay, after we answer those questions, what's the next step? And I just feel like we have to force ourselves to put ourselves on this timeline,
mm-hmm,
and set it up right now.
But isn't that decided? I mean,
well,
isn't our plan that isn't our plan
decided?
Huh?
Do you feel it's decided?
But wait, yeah, that's what he's saying. Why do you go ahead? Finish.
Isn't the plan that that we would buy a large parcel of land and build a middle school?
No.
And if
there's not a consensus on the type of school.
No, John. I don't think that's the consensus. Right.
I think the last time we had, said Spalding is not the best.
Well, let me give my two scenarios and tell you guys here. Isn't the plan to buy a large parcel of land and build a middle school? And if there is no large parcel of land to do that, build a elementary school on Mount Spalding.
Well, those are options. But
are there any other options?
We don't know because we don't
know. I think there are no other options.
There are no other options.
We don't
know.
We don't
want
to explore any more options.
Right.
I don't think there are any.
No, there are no other options.
I thought it was elementary or middle.
Yeah, on a large parcel.
Large parcel,
yeah.
Right.
So if you guys would, again, just to help me clarify, now I'm asking, but if you guys, so if we found this ideal parcel of land to build whatever we wanted on it, you guys don't know whether you do middle school. We don't have consensus whether we do middle school or K through 5.
We take that through some community process.
Well, there wasn't agreement on that either, whether we would take the two options to the community or make a decision as a board and then take it to the community.
Okay.
There was still conversation about that.
We've not thoroughly explored that as a full decision, I don't think. And written down.
So we have to
have cons and things like that. Because it may be based on the location of the property and the characteristics of the property.
Yeah, and I think the issue of elementary versus junior high, and if I recall, was the cost analysis piece. You know, we did the cost analysis for you. You have that information. And it was really a question of which, I think there was differences among you in terms of the cost of a junior high versus the cost of an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not there were barriers in that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I would agree we don't have a plan.
So is this a goal, I mean, are we comfortable with this goal that asks for a detailed plan with timelines and short and long term?
Can't we just develop the timelines today?
I can just say
in 2 months we have the results of the land study done, and then in two more months we decide, based on that study, where we're going to build, and then another month we decide what we're going to build, and then how we do that. Do we just go to a referendum? Do we ask for an information referendum?
I think that's your action plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I that's your action plan for your timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But the timeline, I think, in here, in the goal references, what will happen over, let's say, the next 5 years. I mean, I'm just throwing a
mm-hmm.
number out. Could be 2 years. But over the next X amount of years, the short-term plan will be this. And this will get done in these time frames. The long-term plan will be go to referendum in X year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about the enacting the facilities plan rather than our action, our plan to get that underway. So
I can still say go to referendum in 2 years. With whatever the recommendation is,
mm-hmm.
whatever the final master
mm-hmm.
facility plan is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's what I'll say.
Okay.
I'll just throw it out.
2 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, how does this process work? Are we writing them all down and mixing and matching? Are we developing it?
Yeah, the goal statements, yeah. And I can do it up there if we want to just take and write the goal up there. I'll just do it now. You want to do that?
Can I ask if we can build in this piece based on the Finance Committee recommendation? I mean, that was a huge shift in our plan to put this into finance. And I feel like, in part because we did that under Bob Solak's leadership as chair, then that, you know, that work got done. It got done well. So I want to acknowledge that as a part of our goal is, you know, we did that, and that's a part of our recommendation. So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I asked about what information we've done. Mm-hmm. So much of this legwork, I don't want to reinvent the wheel.
What did I say?
The finance recommendation was what?
Develop a. So we're using some of Anne's language right here, where we started.
Oh, within 2 years. Go to referendum with the master's facility plan recommendation. Or final master's facility.
I'm going to be honest. I think the 2 years is a bad idea. I know that makes you very nervous when I say that, because I feel 2 years, that I know how long it takes to build the referendum momentum and all that. I get it. But I'm going to say again, having a referendum during an election cycle is the worst possible thing you could do. And it's a bad, bad idea. Regardless of whichever end of the spectrum you're on, it's a bad idea.
So push it back?
I think it needs to be a year. I mean, I think you have to think. I know. I'm
sorry. That's what she was going to scare you.
Well, but I mean, whether it's in April or whether it's in, I don't know,
November.
Do we have a November election? I don't know.
Yeah.
2012.
Well, then you do it in time. Then you think about doing November 2012, but 2 full years to put it into an election cycle when new board members are going to be elected is a bad, bad idea.
Let me just put a little context to that statement. You haven't made a decision yet on the what and the where.
Right.
And until you do, you have nothing to communicate. And if you'll recall, in 2007, we had a plan that lacked detail because the board did not want to put the investment behind the detail, and members of the community didn't like that. So you got to put, I mean, we need to have a plan that's got meat on it.
I know what you're saying about the 2007 referendum. There were more reasons not to support it than there were reasons to support it. So I agree about.
Do that again.
No, but I feel the difference with this opportunity is that we will have a significant amount of meat to go forward with it because of the work that has been done from 2007 to today. It's a lot of this has been done. Now I know what you're saying, but I think we would be foolish to have this referendum during the school board election, because it becomes the focus of the election of the board and not the focus of why individuals should be elected.
Yeah, but that gets people interested. I mean, they're there, they want to hear it, it gets the discussion, it gives it attention, it gives it some advertising. I'm not convinced that the referendum didn't pass because we didn't have meat on the bone. I think the meat we had on the bone is that people didn't want fifth graders going to have
it.
And that was enough meat for people to say no.
Right. And
I think we could have spent another $10 million putting meat on that bone. And we may have changed it by 5-10 points, but I don't think it was a meat on the bone issue. I think it was, you know, something we completely missed, you know. People didn't want their fifth graders going to
Well, let's talk about the goal really is related to getting a plan in place that's detailed,
mm-hmm.
that takes us step by step into the future.
not when are we going to go to referendum. That has to be developed within the context of the plan. So your goal has to be really centered in getting a plan put together, and maybe what's your time frame for that?
Well, I guess I'm looking at the standpoint of putting a stake in the ground mm-hmm. and then figuring out how to get there and what level of detail or what that plan is. And then once that's done, then we can say, yeah, you know, we can't do it because of this or not.
What's the stake?
Well, the stake would be 2 years. I'm just throwing out 2 years. Ideally, I'd like to see it a lot sooner. And it, you know, it could be advisory referendum, be a real referendum.
Well, if you do an advisory referendum and you're told no,
then what do you do?
Your facilities.
Well, I'm not just saying no, but like if we're talking about we're not sure about which option, middle school, you know, because if we pick one and they say no, then we're back to the drawing board. But if we have options out there and we get a yes,
well,
then in my mind,
and you haven't solved that yet.
Right.
So again, we're talking about what to do, and you need to set the goal first, and then be driven by that.
So maybe this is generally to what I've always said, but maybe the goal is by the end of August to have a decision on what our facility strategy is going to be. Get this land thing answered. Get this middle.
That's what I agree. That's what I was thinking. I don't know if it's the end of August, but I think within the fall. We have to be able to present to the community based on all this data. And I mean, the other thing I want to make sure that we all hear each other say is there's no equivocation on this. This is a temp job. What we're trying to do in our temporary positions is set a long-term strategy for the district into, you know, whatever number of years going out. That's the message to the community. In addition to the why, it's setting this long term. That's our job. And so it's just not qualifying, is it this or this? We want you to weigh in again. I have a problem with that. I want them to weigh in on what the board was charged to do in our leadership role, which is to say, after all this data and going back to finance and them vetting this yet again, this is the best decision for the district based on X, Y, and Z. And we sit up and say, this is it.
You have agreement that there needs to be a facilities solution. Mm-hmm. There's consensus there. So it's just a matter of getting agreement on which solution. So does this work as the goal that John has suggested by the end of August, and maybe you can play that date if you want to make it November, October, September, whatever. Mm-hmm. The board will determine its facilities strategy for constructing a new school. It's very specific to a new school because you've made that decision already, I think. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dan, are you
everybody
on board with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like by the end of the fall. Just give us some flexibility.
By the end of the fall?
I'm
thinking the end of September. The only reason August is we have no meetings in July. When we come back to that first working meeting in August, there's a ton of stuff.
Right.
And I think what this also suggests is that we have a board workshop potentially, right?
I'll tell you what, let's leave this date here for the moment and come back to it after you've done your other goals. Because we talked about having a full-day retreat in August,
mm-hmm.
but depending on what your other goals are and what other topics you may want to use that time for, might determine whether you can actually get it done in August.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe let's get the other goals done and then come back and see what the timelines are.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Okay?
Yep.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, look at that. One goal.
Woohoo!
Way to go, team. Okay, next goal. What is the topic?
Oh, wait a second. I feel that's a short-term goal, but we don't have a long-term goal around facility.
But I think this will then
it'll take care of
drive.
I think it drives that next step. Do we need to state that, though, Dan?
Well, yeah, I think we need some. What kind of example of a long-term goal?
Well, can I ask, Sam, why can number one be the long-term goal? That Ann, it's develop a detailed measure with timelines and goals for long-term action plans. Is that goal one?
Can that be the goal in this?
And
the
this
first
is the first action step to it.
Could be.
Or that's the short-term goal. We're setting it. That's
that.
The long-term, and then we're setting a series of short-term goals.
All right. Well, when will that detailed plan, the timelines, be done? or?
I'd say as soon as you make.
I think once
as soon as you make
yeah.
that decision.
Yeah.
So this is action plan. Are you comfortable with the goal language that's in your memo?
Yes. I just want a date or a time bound on there. That's all.
Okay. On a top goal.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll amend that goal once you do this.
I guess.
Or
if you don't have a date, then, you know, how do you know if you're on track or
mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why you have to build your action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, but develop a detailed master facility plan with timeline.
By?
Something.
Okay. Do you want to do it by January? We've got, I mean, in the long range plan.
Well, if it's a goal, it should be.
Remember, this is.
Done by the end of the year.
Overview.
Or goal. Mm-hmm. But the action plans could be date specific.
Well, if you're hitting on the point of these goals for the next 2 years for this year.
Well, then make it by.
Well, this is 2011-2012, so I see this going into, you know, summer of next year. You know, so this time next year, June to June.
I think we need to have a down way before.
Well,
so
the action plan should be done before. I agree with that. But as a broad goal, it should be either a 1 year or 2 year goal. Isn't that the...
Well,
yeah,
well,
we should 2012.
But in theory, you wait till the end of 2 years to have the plan.
Dan, if we think of goals again as at a high level, right, then to Tara's point, if we use number one, then this is the first action item underneath that, and maybe it's adding after your comma there, you know, the piece that Dan was talking about, which is something about driving then or identifying what the long-term what the timelines are for long-term.
How about spring 2012?
For number one, that's ambitious, but I think that's the point. We need to be ambitious about it.
That's not a referendum.
No, but it's
right. It's
that's the plan.
Right.
They can this now launch the community.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So that goes into the language of the goal, and then this is your first action step, around which you have to have more.
Right.
Okay. What's your next goal?
Do you think we need a specific date with that? It's kind of.
What are you talking about?
Enact communication. You mean that one?
Dan,
I'm sorry, Drew, I was not listening. What are you saying?
I'm asking you, what is your next goal? I offered those three suggestions. They may not be your.
I heard everybody talk
about communication.
Yeah, I heard everybody talk about it.
Yeah,
everybody talks about communication.
What mechanisms enable two-way that aren't available now?
That's where I started. I'm like,
is it proactively evoking responses on things?
I struggle with what. I mean, I've been on the board for a while. So a lot of you guys have. I struggle with what else we could do. I mean, maybe it's not the communication plan, it's the engagement of the community. I just, you know, Steve came up with an idea years ago about going out to the schools. It's probably the most engagement we get. I don't know that it has a lot of value to it, given the work that has to get done to make it happen, right? But, I mean, I don't know how much more transparent and honest and whatever we can be. I know I can't.
I don't think it's that. I have thrown out some ideas or thoughts about different ways of getting into the community and engaging. You know, we used to have chat with the board member before a board meeting. I'm interested in those, how to drive those two-way conversations outside of the formal board setting.
So what are those? Because I don't, if there was a list, I missed it.
No, one idea I had was, you know, kind of like we have the coffee with the COPS program once a month, is, you know, coffee with a board member. You know, and, you know, of course, I can't force anyone to do anything, but, you know, once a month, one of us would go to some place to engage a different demographic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get good communication, you know, with like our PTA members, for instance. But what about the other bill of directors.
Yeah, for me, it's not a communication plan, it's engagement.
Right.
And, you know, we have to be honest or figure out, maybe the, you know, maybe, I don't know how much engagement there is in communities with boards. Maybe we want it. I know I certainly would like the input, but maybe people aren't interested. I don't know.
Are there systems in place already where pockets of the community, and I'm saying this broadly, feel like they have the engagement they want? They only want it vis-a-vis a PTA meeting or, you know, or the message board or whatever. Maybe that's really all they want. We want it because we see the value in it. But I, you know, where's the data that says they're calling for this?
We could do the town hall phone calls like Peter Austin does.
Oh yeah, and then I never get to ask a question. It drives me nuts. I'm on for 45 minutes, so I don't want to create angst with people either when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, sometimes.
So do you know what I'm saying? I mean, who are we not? Yeah, who's saying you don't engage me enough?
Well, that was my question. I don't know whether we know that people want engagement or not, but I don't know that any. I mean, our only barometer at this point of engagement is emails and people showing up to the meetings, and those are zero.
Well,
now, I know in the community, you know, that some of the parents I've been talking to recently because of some other things I'm doing will say things about it. I'm like, well, go to a board meeting. You know, so somehow going to a board meeting doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Or writing a personal email asking for a response instead of just a blast saying, this is how I feel. I mean, that's not, I don't usually respond to those if Ann does. I just, they're not asking for a dialogue.
Right.
And Dan, I'm not opposed to the coffee with the cat. I mean, you know, like, you know,
yeah.
I'm not opposed to that.
I'll put it out there.
I mean, I'm willing at this point to try anything. And I don't want to not do something because it hasn't worked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the only engagement that we have is negative. And it's that group of negativity that doesn't want to listen to anything we have to say because they are set in their way and their thought process, so they don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't care because they are so entrenched in where they are. They will never vote yes. They will never believe what we're telling them. It's that. So I almost feel like, not that we shouldn't try to engage that group of people, but at some point you have to say, I can't. I'm not going to keep hitting myself up against. I can't keep hitting my head on the wall. But that's not to say there's not groups of people out there who don't want to hear what we have to say. But are we, how many times, what will make it a success? So we have these coffees, I'm actually going to say quarterly, because I think once a month is a lot. I think if it's once a month, people go, oh, I could go next month, versus we're going to do this in September, we want to hear what people have to say, you know, you just sort of quarterly do it. Mm-hmm. And
I'm not talking about the whole
board. No, I understand what you're saying,
like
but
you
I mean,
say.
I might need the whole board.
Just you.
I think because if you were,
I think the challenge. I guess let's get back to goal as opposed to action steps. But is this what you're talking about? A community engagement plan?
Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah.
Let me look at it from this standpoint. We have the board goal from 09 on communication. Was revisit the district stakeholder relations plan. How do we apply new technologies and communications that are cost effective and opportunities for meaningful conversation and participation with the community? Did we meet that, or what did we do as a result of that?
Well, I think that goal actually got activated via Julie, because that's when we did e-news, our backpack electronic, PTAs then started to go green. So they built through our technology department websites. I mean, there were, so I would say, and this is the challenge of it being a board goal, because we are, right, high level. And so the enacting of it gets aligned through.
There is a communication goal in the long-range plan. Mm-hmm. There's an ambassadorship goal and there's a communication goal. So that goal is for the organization strategic. We're talking about board activity.
Right.
Board goal. So it's what the board's going to do, not what Julie's going to do. We'll
right.
assist you
well,
in
that's
getting
my
the
point.
Information out and organizing
it. It got done through you.
But it will be what you are committing to do. So if you did... if you had a community engagement plan, it may be that, okay, over the next year, we are going to do four activities.
Mm-hmm.
A listening tour, coffee with the board, mm-hmm. Focus groups.
Cap house.
I mean, you could do any number.
We can go to them.
You could do any number of things. I mean, we've talked, which I still think is, I think it's really a timely thing to do. I introduced a community conversation 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And nobody wanted to do it except the school district. and now I think it may be time that the village, because of the TIF conversation that's happening.
And a new village manager
wants
to hear what people have to say.
Right.
COD might participate.
And a new park district. I mean, so it may be that that could be a strategy, part of a strategy or a plan is to engage, that we would provide leadership for a community conversation. And while we do the work, it would be a board activity.
You know, I like Dan's idea. Whatever we can do to engage the community, I personally like the concept of an advisory group for the finance side, which I think that with so many things going on, and if we're going to go forward with a ambitious facilities plan, I think it may make some sense to engage, you know, some of the financial minds in the community and bring them into that whole realm.
I think that's very much probably going to be a part of this goal.
Right.
More so than the
well, you'll have your own. There'll be an engagement plan just around facilities.
Okay.
Around which I mean, if you want a general financial advisory board, you could have that too as a communication.
I think it'll drive it. I would
say, if you don't have a clear charge for the group, it's difficult to get people committed and coming to work around it. So this would be a clear charge.
Okay.
But can I have to say I think we have to, and I agree about the clear charge, but I believe, and I've talked to people who sat on the finance committee with 87, who, you know, with that big committee, and once again, they did it because they didn't think they were being free. You know, that whole, I'm gonna find a way to save, I'm gonna find all
smoking
these things,
gun.
The smoking gun. And every single one of those people has come back to me and said, I didn't find it. They're actually doing a decent job. But then it's getting that group of people to go out and communicate that message is clear. So while I agree that the advisory piece is really, it fits with facilities, I do think it's part of an engagement model, and I do think it's something, I don't know, finance to figure out a charge with it, because I think that you want those people to come, you need people to come and say, we are doing a good job, because when we say it, they don't necessarily believe us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with all due respect to Drew, I think he's a perfect example of somebody who got here and said, and that's not why you joined, that's not why you ran for the board. But, you know, he's here, he's in the finances, because people thought Drew would find the smoking gun, and Drew has said repeatedly, there is no smoking gun. So it's that you have to get people to go back out with the message that they're doing a good job.
It's building ambassadorship.
It's building ambassadorship. And I mean, yes, you got to come up with the charge, but I think, you know, you said you got to have the meeting, whatever you're for, as part of the action plan. We need to have a this, this, and this. I think Drew's idea of a advisory committee or something, because I think the master facility group, and I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought, but, you know, you would, as part of the old goal, Dan, it was that we were going to engage, whatever it was, But I mean, we did do those things through the master facility, through now we did this bullying task force that now has a second step to it. I mean, I think we have gone out into the community and we've had these groups. I mean, we did it with the visioning and then a second group out of the visioning. Mm-hmm. We are doing these things, but
we engage around ideas
and initiatives.
But I don't think that's, I think you have to do it that way.
Yeah.
So, but I think the problem is we do that. We have a very positive response by those people who participate. And a lot of those participants are people who had a negative view going into it and have turned around and left with a positive view. But we need to get that group to go back out and say, this is working. And I don't know how to put that in the plan, but that to me is the key.
So let me go back to just the goal statement. Is this does this work as a goal statement, and we could jot down several quick ideas?
I was going to say, I don't know if it's part of the goal statement, but then to your point, Anne, you know, develop X number of activities during 2011-2012, mm-hmm. you know, put a commitment to it. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask a question of every board member here, of all of us. What we're saying in this goal is that we're going to commit to time. And I want to make sure that everybody's on board to do that.
I think for me, the engagement part is important, but I think what I said earlier about the value is really where we struggle. So, you know, Tara said something about the smoking gun. I don't know that that's so much the issue. It's, you know, just take one example that you hear all the time, right? That we spend X percentage on administration, way too much, too many people, you know, should be spending more in the classroom. Well, the only, you know, so someone may come in and say, okay, that's a smoking gun, call that, and try to reduce it. The only way that we're going to convince people that we, if we feel we need to, is to be able to understand and communicate the value of what each part of the school district is doing and why that translates into, you know, a reasonable property tax payment. So for me, communication is the engagement is a part of it, but it's also the value of it.
We can only control our expenditures. We can't control what the ultimate tax bill is.
No, I'm not at a cost level. I'm saying what's the value of what it is that's being done in this district.
John, do you mean something like, it's corny, but, you know, highlighting what some of the roles are? Like, and I'll use Julie as an example. Are you saying, you know, like Julie's job is, it's not just sending out e-blasts and, you know, backpack mail? I'm just using Julie as an example. Julie's job is so much bigger than that. This is what Julie does, and this is the value that it adds to our kids.
I mean, in our campaign, whatever, forums, it was, you know, asked pretty bluntly a couple times, you know, do you support having a communication director on board?
Do you support having a PR function?
Right.
So it's perspective, right? But you're right.
So I'm just using that as an example, right? Mm-hmm. So that, you know, at whatever it was, like 20,000 or whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we've heard that before. So what's the value of that position? Mm-hmm. And how do we communicate that, right? Because it's more than just e-blast.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's right.
So, okay. And again, you know, we need a balance between leadership and feeling we have to respond to everything. You know, but,
right.
You know, are there some things that, is there, you know, value in what we're doing from a curriculum perspective that demonstrates, you know, the model that we have to support it? So to me, this value equation, and it's a tough one, it's not an easy one, mm-hmm. is something that is part of our communication. It's engagement and value.
Well, I think the thing you're also saying, John, is this goal that Anne has in Long Range Plan, which is ambassadorship, which also I think has been misunderstood in the past because it's not this, you know, board member light. It's board member really understanding our role to educate others about what it is. And part of it is saying what we said earlier, which is what you say, what I say, what we all say. Come to the next board meeting. You know, I had a parent complaining about something. We were having a program review of it. I called her and said, please come. I will pick you up. You know, she didn't have a car that night. You know? So there's, I think you're right, there's a value proposition that we need to always keep in mind in terms of being able to explain. And that's, again, some of the work that we would need to do. So I want to, you know, again, ask the question and at least get a head nod. You know, are people committed to doing this? This is this is an important goal and comes at a time when we have several other things we're going to be committing to as a board in terms of collective bargaining, et cetera. So I just want to make sure that we commit to it and there's an, you know, there's an even set of responsibility to it. Because I think it's critical, and I think the whole value piece is one we need to flesh out. So we're good with that? Can make commitment to it? Okay.
Can we talk about some of the action steps, though? I mean, we just because I think that that mm-hmm. helps us to formulate in our own minds how do we do what could what does this look like to us instead of a very general statement.
You know, and I would encourage you that you think about who you're engaging and be specific. I hear you say a lot about we're trying to reach a group of people that are negative about us. And we focus a lot on people who maybe have disagreements with the district or don't like the district. And they are, I don't know who they are,
right.
Who the big they are.
Mm-hmm.
But your constituents are made up of residents of five communities.
Right.
And many languages and many economic strata. And so when you talk about engagement, do you care about those other people? Because if you do, your engagement has to include them in order to have a well-balanced
mm-hmm.
perspective, and that means you have to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't wait for them to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be invitation. It's like our parent
right.
involvement model. So
right.
I just, you know, I think mm-hmm. when we talk about engagement, I think you do need in your planning to be, mm-hmm. who do you want to hear from?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's all of your constituents, then you have to have a plan to get to your constituents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that demographic piece that you included in a Thursday letter once, that study that was done in DuPage County that had the you know, the change in population, the demographic change in population, struck me and made me think about, you know, this whole engagement piece just from a district-wide level. Because where we have had success at the school level has been because the building leaders and then the PTAs, I'm thinking specifically too, have recognized what they need to do to get those other parents involved. And they're becoming, in at least two of our schools, a pretty significant population of potential support. And if they're not engaged, then we're always going to the same well. And so, too, as you said, we can't be thinking about our district as only Glen Ellen, which is, I think, a kind of a natural shift that people do because we're called Glen Ellen District 41.
That's the majority of our.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more majority of our students come from Glen Ellen, and we know that only about 20% of our families
even have children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, right. But to your point, I would say, we need to be bigger than that, though. The board needs to show leadership in that we recognize that that trending is important to us, and we want to, you know, reach out to that.
So, quick action steps.
First one is identify who the stakeholder groups are.
I think we should already know that, should we?
Well, we should, but we got to get it down, right?
You want to name
which ones are you going to reach out to?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get to reach out to
Well, you may not be able to if you know, in 1 year, you may not be able to reach everybody, or you might do a combination.
I was going to say, some initiatives could be broader based than others.
No, I just think that if we actually implement all the intricacies of Goal 1, Goal 2 will just naturally fall in line. People are going to start responding in either a positive or negative way.
Well, only those stakeholders that care about that issue.
Right.
And I think maybe that's the only people that...
So that could be the groups that we decide are the ones that we focus on.
And that'd be fine. But I think we're not going to know that until we start implementing these specifics of
Well, can I ask Dan a question? Because I think this will help on stakeholder. And I hear what you're saying, that there's, you know, underneath what Sam is saying is that, that's right, that there's
engagement.
That, yeah, that there's people that are going to show up because they're going to show up, and they care about it, and they have an interest in it, or they're angry about it, or whatever. There's always going to be that population underneath the topic, which is our first one. But I'll ask Dan, you know, when you're thinking about doing a monthly, quarterly, who do we see as showing up for that, as being that population that will connect with that kind of outreach?
Just the ones that, you know, are more interested in, or, you know, maybe have shown up to meetings but mm-hmm. then stopped because they saw it as a one-way communication.
Because it's a business meeting, right.
It's a business meeting, mm-hmm. Re-engaging those. And I know you said, you know, maybe it's be connecting more with the negative people, but I don't see that as a problem. I would see that I would want to do that, because otherwise the only time you hear from them is when they go vote on the referendum, and by then it's too late. And so I'm looking for ways, not just tied to specific issue, but in general as well, to get them and feel that they're being heard, or at least they're getting more detail to understand the issue a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
How do you identify the negative people? How do you go after them and invite them? Because how do you know who's negative?
Yeah.
Well, usually you go to them. I mean, first of all, I'm not convinced that the people that interact are only negative people. I'm not buying that. But you go to them.
But how do you know? How do you identify them? I guess that's what I'm saying in terms of
how would we communicate that we're doing this?
Your group.
Well, I mean,
are they senior citizens? Are they people who don't have children in the system? Because then they don't really know enough, or they don't know enough about us. You know, but I just don't know how.
Well, you could look at it a couple different ways. Maybe you could look at the last referendum we had. You could look at the districts or areas. You could see, is it by geography? Is it this group here, there was like 90% no, 10% yes. So, you know, we need to understand why this geographic area. I don't know if you guys had any breakdown or were able to figure out from an ethnographic or an age as well.
You can do it by registered voters.
Yeah.
You can see who voted and then see where they live. You know,
was there a group that was formed in opposition to a referendum?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that would be maybe another group of people or mm-hmm. list that we could also include
yeah.
as well.
That is thinking that we could go back to the leaders of that group and say, they all came from the Lincoln Union.
It was a play.
It was a play on our campaign slogan, and they really stole our graphics and made them their own. I mean, who was
the leader of that?
Well, there were several. It wasn't just the Lincoln group.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
The Lincoln geographic area was highly opposed to the referendum based on the fifth grade.
Because
there were probably
very
people who were also opposed to it for other reasons. But in particular, Lincoln was very
that was the
strong.
Issue that came
and in fairness,
that to me is why in some ways it would be hard to use that demographic as, in my mind, to be considered negative, because I do not believe that the Lincoln school and Lincoln, you know, physicality community is actually in opposition, has a negative view of the district. I actually think they have a very positive view of the district and the things, but on that singular issue, they want their fifth graders at their school.
Right. So there were probably in any pockets of opposition.
It's a green space group, right? They didn't like the fact that using up so much of the Hadley's
green space. Yeah, there was a green space group, too. Yeah. It depends over by where you live.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember talking. So here,
so just some examples.
Of yeah, that. Can I?
So let's we ID stakeholder groups. How many minutes? But I think that, and it may be the stakeholder group would be those who have opposed referenda in the past, or you know, something like that. Okay, what else you want to do? Do you want to have like quarterly?
I was going to say, what's the number of activities that we would commit to?
I think that we need to see what kind of, and I don't want to use the word models because I don't want to see another community engagement model.
John, can you just wait and come back? I don't think we're catching you on the tape part, Jim.
I
know.
I don't
want you to get lost.
I think we should think about what is available, you know, from Twittering, blogging, you know, just look at how engagement, because social media is becoming such a big part of engagement now, and you know, we're not really close. I don't think we really do anything from a social media perspective.
But you saw also the article where some school boards are saying any electronic communication between board members, I would assume between the public, becomes public record.
You can't.
So we started, Twittering and all these things with community. They're going to have to realize whatever they say to us via that medium is public record, because you can go get the emails sent to the district.
That's not your, we are following social media in other school districts to see how it's going. In our survey, we asked about our survey, most people, the majority of response was not interested in engaging with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind another survey or something, or even it said what. What medium would you find interesting to engage with the school board?
Okay, so my point is, regardless of whether it's social media, is to think about, you know, what type of
medium
communication, what type of
vehicle.
How many people show up for coffee with Pat every week? Anyone know that one? Have you been to one?
No, but I asked the question because I.
What was the question? What was the answer?
I just said, hey, you know, so what are you getting out of that?
To
for coffee. No, and I said, so what do they talk about? And he said, you know.
So you asked the police?
No, I asked a board member.
Oh.
Village board member? Oh, you mean a Village of Glen Ellen?
A Village board member. I said, you know, so how many people did you show up for that? I said, about 20. And I said, what are some of the topics that are covered? And he said, you know, people are interested in where crime is happening in the village so they know, or, you know, if there's, a rash of like car burglaries, where are they? You know, things like that, you know, breaking in the car. But
And the point is, it's personal.
Social media,
which I think this would be too.
It's here. It's not going anywhere. Everybody's looking at it. We're going to be a part of social media at some point.
I think the board's participation in social media is highly cautionary.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I agree with you, John, and I even brought to our president meeting to talk in August with Julie and Ann about, I researched some other board websites to see the kind of tools they were using, et cetera, and quite a few of them had a highlighting a board member so people could get some more information about board members, et cetera, and, you know, on a recurring basis. And then the dating game. And another one was a board president letter once a month, like PTA presidents do on there. So there was that. And then the other one was highlighting staff members. So to that point that came up, you know, is letting people know what's going on and, having it more. I think that what I noticed is that there was a repetitive nature to some of the information because we all know that people read things once and then that's it. They, you know, it doesn't come back to them or they don't, it needs to be embedded over and over again, you know, reminding of board goals was a huge piece. And I have to tell you, out of the 7 board sites I looked at, only 3 of them had board goals and 1 set of board goals were 2 years old. You know, so I think it's really important that we're doing this because I think it resets a tone.
Well, and I was going to ask, can we, on the website, once we finalize and accept that these are the goals, that we post them?
Absolutely, yeah. So to John's point, we're unique in our roles because we have these rules associated with our work. And we can say we don't like it, but that's what we signed up for, and that's what we have to follow.
So it's 11:20, and I want to be conscious of time here. We said at 11:45 we need to debrief, mm-hmm. and we still, you know, you need to determine if you are going to have further goals than these two. So do we want to just commit to, at this point, before you flesh out your plan, mm-hmm. Quarterly, some kind of quarterly engagement?
I think it's a realistic place to start. Yeah. Dan, does that make sense?
As opposed to monthly?
It's a good start. Mm-hmm. And I don't want us to, sometimes we talk about these things, and not just here, but in the business world as well. Sometimes we let perfect be the enemy of good. Yeah. Just because we decide something, you don't have to have a 2-year plan for it, and then,
right.
you know, let's iterate.
It's a work in process, right.
Absolutely. Well, that's why I think not defining what these are at this point.
Right.
You know, try some things. Maybe you're going to try 4 different things and see what kind of response you get from 4 different things.
But to give it a shot, and at least if we put it up there, Dan, that's why I'm saying we come up and what do we think this could look like and have that part of that discussion, I think that helps us because at least we feel like we're doing mm-hmm. something. And I'm sure. taking notes and wearing a reminder.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have need for another goal?
Well, you have this financial yes. philosophy, and I was going to ask how do people feel about this, because...
And I don't even know if that's the right language.
Well, right. But, I mean, just in terms of the financial piece, again, I would say that that was a consistent theme that we all talked about, was, you know, somewhat of this model of sustainability. I don't know what that means to people. I used it myself. I think, you know, finance is always a big deal to us. But is that part of the long-range plan?
Well, it is. The sustainability is the long. I mean, yeah. it is mm-hmm. definitely a part of the long-range plan. Do you want to make your goal as simple as determine a fund balance min-max? Which is...
Well, one parameter, financial parameter out of all the financial parameters, to me, is short-sighted. There's a whole view of that. If you just pick that one, well, you can tweak the others to make that the way you want it. So mm-hmm. what does that say?
Yeah, well, my question is why, this is, it's a very fundamental question, why is that important to have, not to have a fiscal philosophy, I think that's important, to ID on a min-max. I want to understand it because we've had this conversation. It's a recurring conversation.
Fiscal philosophy is important, as you said. I think the reason that there's a focus or at least a discussion about it is because we have reserves. And... Mm-hmm. You know, any company that has money on its balance sheet that's sitting there, there's always a discussion of how do you use it, what's the right way to use it. And to me, that's why it's there. If we had $200 in there, you wouldn't focus in on it, unless you might want to focus in on it, say, because you want to grow to, you know, $500 or whatever. But I think just economically, we've got, you know, states that are financially in trouble, districts that are financially in trouble, but there's a lot of money still sitting in bank accounts. So,
with those states?
Well, no, I mean, you know, let's just say that a town is hurting or a state is hurting, but, you know, you've got, and I don't know what the right number is, Steve, but you probably do, you got $1 billion or whatever sitting in everyone's reserves. So, you know,
but I can tell you, I go to every finance meeting I can. I mean, I have a philosophy, number one, we don't have a structural deficit. You know, we're not taking on a lot of new initiatives that we know can't get paid for. We do always look at the long-range plan and try to fit in the services we want to provide within that constraint.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also pared back on things in recent years. Mm-hmm. The reserve amount could be anywhere you wanted if you didn't do some of that paring back. So there's a lot more that goes into it when you just say, well, the reserve should be this amount. Are you saying, I still think there's a lot of inefficiencies in the system that need to be taken out?
No, I think to your point, it's a holistic system that you look at.
Right.
It's a holistic philosophy. I completely agree with that.
But then it's more than just the fund balance. But all I ever hear is, here's what the fund balance should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't hear about the rest of the parameters that make that up in terms of expenditures for students,
right,
and analyzing those types of things. Because you could have a district spending $3,000 more per student than us with lower fund balance. It's just, and you know, you couldn't say it's a better financial model. Mm-hmm. Fund balance is not a sole determination of fiscal irresponsibility or responsibility.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard anyone say it is or isn't. I've never heard anybody say our fund balance is fiscally irresponsible.
You know, we heard some of that 2 years ago with another board member, and that really, you know, created for me this questions around having the larger conversation. I think the fiscal philosophy piece is absolutely important because it takes into account some of the reality of annual finances, state impediments, federal, et cetera. Those are going to shift every year. So we have to have a philosophy that is able to navigate that, not be so tied that we don't leave any room for other boards to move around that. And so that I think that that's important. So I think there is, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but I get the feeling, and I have for the last 4 or 5, even 6 years ago when I was attending board meetings, that there's this sense that we need to spend it down. We should not be holding money. Period. It should be spent.
I've never heard that.
From a board member or from a community member?
I don't know, Jack, but I've never heard from a board member that we should not have any money as in our.
We should spend it down. I'm not saying any money, but it's, you know, this discomfort with having X number of million dollars, we got to spend it. We should give it back, spend it, put it into programs, whatever.
I mean, I could see parameters around, you know, yearly increases from year to year or other things, or some number like 50% or something. But when we're talking, when we're around 20 or 25 or something, given what we have, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. I'm very concerned about the...
And there's no way to, you know, create a major initiative with a new product that's going to drive revenue for other things like that. It's a fixed revenue source for the most part.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that. I think we could drive revenue out of the assets that we have outside of our normal district 45.
Okay.
But that's like
in the confines of a public organization?
I think it doesn't hurt to set guidelines and put numbers there that when you get above or below a guideline,
it triggers reviews.
We have a discussion.
Yes.
We have a board discussion and say, what's going on? What's caused this to happen?
Right.
Is our number correct? Should we adjust it? Is this a systemic of another issue? And I think for that standpoint, I think it makes sense to put those in just because it'll drive board discussion.
So there's two questions here.
And let me just say, for me personally, I do that every meeting I go to and every budget I see. I've internalized that already. And the reason I don't see, I have to discuss this, I have to set this goal, is I've already come to that conclusion that it didn't trigger me to have to really discuss, well, why is this doing this or that? I mean, I do ask those questions.
So
other people have to bring that up. I need to better understand where they're getting these numbers. What foundationally do they feel
is... It's a matter of setting, you know, a board policy, and then that's a tool that's communicated to the community. Here we had a discussion. Here's the parameters we put in place, you know. Therefore, you can be rest assured that, you know, this isn't the line of thinking we're thinking around it. You know, I think to just leave it open-ended, you know, like you said, there's some district has like 90-something percent reserved. If I was in that district, I would ask, one, are you doing everything that I want to be done? And if the answer is yes, then why are you still holding on to all this money? You know, so I think that if we can get to come up as a group to whatever, you know, what is the minimum to make sure that we feel comfortable in terms of reduced expenditures that will be coming in, and on then, what's the maximum? At what point do we feel that you know, if we're just sitting on money.
And we do have that, we've got the minimum for that in policy now, sort of a minimum as well as what you do when you lose grant funding, you know, how do you do that? We've got a little bit of that done.
What's the minimum?
Is it 10? Yeah, 10%.
Well, and to that point, isn't there a minimum, Steve, I know we talked about this, a minimum about keeping the rating that...
Which is much higher.
Well, this is the material that Steve sent, and this was really helpful because I think it answered a lot of the questions that you actually brought up, Dan, at the last Finance Committee meeting, and... You know, again, it's a school-based finances, so it has its own set of targets, right? And so this profile score that talks about, you know, balance to revenue ratio, to Steve's question, you know, what is this set and what's the data that we set these numbers based on? There has to be some reason and not just, well, we picked this number. I think that we might agree that having this as a direction set would make sense. And then if a community member says to me, well, how did you pick that number? I feel comfortable saying, you know, look, these are the experts. We're not.
This is best
practice. Can have opinion about it, but these are, you know, practices that are set. So that makes perfect sense to me, you know, in terms of that. And
yeah, I don't want to go into a number here. I just want to, I feel like it's a goal I'd like to have.
And what's the range of the goal?
Well, the overall goal that I think we have every year is our fiscal philosophy. And one of the items we're addressing this year, action items, is our fund balance.
So
our reserve.
So your what's the goal statement? The goal statement, what's written on that?
Develop a financial philosophy that helps guide administrative planning and decision making. That's the goal as written.
I want something
pretty broad.
Right.
I want something about statements. Sustainable model. Whatever that is, I think that.
Sustainable for how many years?
Structural deficits.
There's no way.
It makes no sense.
Well, when longer than five.
The reason we say five,
the government can't. I mean, even five, even 2 years.
My company can't.
Is a fiction. You know, we're saying in order to stay in for the next 5 years, we're going to have to adjust this much every year. But even that, based on no information, we don't know what CPI is. We don't know what we're going to get in terms of revenue. So that's why doing 7 years.
Right. No, it could be some other things. You know, and I think I've talked to you about this. Have some equations that say these expenditure items will not, their increases or dollar values will be tied to this CPI bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that, to me, that drives long-term sustainability because you're tying expenditures back to your revenues, which you can't really control.
Yeah.
What do you plug in CPI for years 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8?
No, it's not. I'm not plugging in specific numbers. I have an equation that says, we'll say, you know, the salaries. The salary bucket is our largest equation, largest expenditure, will be tied through some mathematical formula to our income. I'm just throwing out.
No, I what I was going to ask you, Dan, I mean, when we do this and we have whoever that group is that comes every year, that
PMA,
thank you, and the hockey stick or whatever John calls it occurs, and we look at it, my feeling every time we do that is we have a plan and we have that presentation, we get the CPI, we plug in the, you know, we look at the way the budget's going to play out based on CPI and our tax revenues. And we have to make adjustments. Every year we make adjustments based on that information. So for me, I don't know how you could go out that 20-year, I mean, I don't know how you could go out past 5 years because every year, well, I'm just saying every year it changes. Your health insurance stuff changes. I mean, every year, so you're just using that information to kind of push it out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say 20 years, I mean, I don't know how you could do that, but it's almost like you get a new, it's you plan for these five, and then every year it pushes out one more. So here's, you know, 11, 12 planning and that information, and then we push it out one more year. So
I think what Dan is saying, and you've attached a number to it, and maybe that's where we're getting stuck, but what you're saying is the board, this board, and as boards come behind us, needs to have as its goal that it will look at all the indicators and will keep in mind all the realities that change from year to year and be good stewards of that. To say, the state, we got that Sandra Pihos letter, the state is going to pay these two quarters out in 11, and this is what it means. That we have to be nimble enough as a board to take into account those pieces and be willing to make the hard decisions to do that, to, for long-term financial stability. And you know, the 20-year is a number. The point is that we commit to every year saying, we can't do this, we can do this, for whatever reason, that the board will make those, have those crucial conversations.
The board will step forward. Instead of developing expenditure plan, that sounds like we don't have a plan. So either you say maintaining it or developing an annual expenditure plan. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Or maintaining it and...
I don't understand that. We do that every year.
Yeah, we do.
But I don't get this goal. I mean, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the conversation. Our board goal is that we have continued our financial philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a standard thing. We do that all the time. Finance committee does that. It's all integrated. Sounds like this year there's one action item around reserves that still needs some clarity. That would be a good goal or thing to work on. Mm-hmm. It sounds like we have questions around what the percentages could be, how we might spend that money, whether we'd spend it for, you know,
land,
whether we'd spend it for education, with, you know, yeah, a structural deficit, some sort of guidance and philosophy around that. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's a good idea.
This thing here, we do. I mean, I think every year we put together a plan, a budget.
Well, yeah, and we look at how it affects things, parameters we know going out a few years. We don't set ourselves up to have to pay for something that we don't know how we're going to do it.
I would say that if someone said, you know, I mean, we have a goal of fiscal philosophy, and one of the things we've accomplished in this area is a budgeting cycle and, you know, blah, 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 more aligned with what we can given some of the uncertainty. But we really haven't nailed this part down. And it's, you know, it's taken us... I kind of heard there wasn't consensus that we needed to do that. I mean, I know I think we did.
I can set a number. I don't know if it's 33 or if it's, you know, somewhere. I just think it's up to each board that's elected to figure out, you know, there may be conditions there.
Right, based on the conditions.
And they can change their board policy if they want.
I agree.
If it just says, oh, I've made a proclamation that this is my philosophy, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really...
Maybe it's a board procedure.
Yeah. I think we need a written board goal from a community perspective to know that we monitor finances, right? That's part of our job.
Well, I also think there's this thought that somehow we're banking all this money that came in from the basin. When you look at all the other districts, it's just not the case. Our reserves are well below the average in any parameter you want to look at. I mean, do you feel somehow this is going to solve a problem with a basin
issue? Yeah, is there a problem? That was my question.
Is this going to win back trust, financial trust?
I feel this is sound, fiscal, responsible.
I've heard people bring that up on this board. I just want to know if you feel that a specific action like this is going to win back trust, that you feel you need to do this, to put a real number on.
Well, I don't think I've ever made that statement. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm just looking at it in terms of fiscal policy, long-term sustainability. This is a piece that I, you know, see as part of that. And then, you know, to go into more detail, then it would drive to, like when we do tax levy and budgeting, you know, right now we just have a line that says surplus, which, you know, people see and take as different definitions of what that means. And so, you know, my goal is to have that, when we do the levy and the budget, the preliminary budget for that levy, it says, okay, here's all our expenditures. Instead of a line that just says surplus, it says, to maintain the fund balance, here's how much we're asked, this bucket is being requested in the levy to support the fund balance.
at least Brett.
So Dan, just have a clarification. You just like to have further detail of the budget that ties back to a policy that can be financially equated.
And I think I can understand. A lot of times we talk about the balloon levy, and we're just not levying for levy's sake, but at least there's a parameter that says, well, this part of the asking for more than what's budgeted in expenditures is to maintain a certain percentage fund balance.
Mm-hmm. I think
so what if it's a little bit more?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So if we have our parameters for the fund balance, and then you have a dollar amount that you say you need to maintain that fund.
That's a line item on
the
budget.
Right. I mean, I know we're diving into details, but I'm just trying to get some of the reasoning or philosophy why, you know, I might have an interest in this school. Mm-hmm.
And you think that from a stakeholder standpoint, it's easier to justify that.
There's a story. There's a reason for it. Instead of somebody saying, oh, you guys got all these surpluses, why are you doing closing me over again?
Well, that must be part of the conversation you hear because it's driving, you know, this interest. So I think that, for me, is important because if that's out there and it's out there in a pocket or a whole raincoat of people, right, then we need to understand that. You know, I would suggest, though, that there's a piece to this. I've made a note to myself that, you know, part of guiding by financial priorities has to also take into account, you know, state and federal funding. Not that it's a huge amount, but, you know, that those are some of the, those are the unknowns that you know, Bob deals with and Ann deals with all the time. And they're, you know, potentially a moving target.
Well, and that's really administrative.
Yeah,
right.
But I think they account.
Is this a goal?
The board
maintains a fiscal philosophy to help guide its financial priorities.
And then you could add to it an annually set of parameters.
Mm-hmm. Because
it allows for the flexibility of what's happening in that particular year.
Going back to Erica's point.
I do think that's the goal. I think, and it maintains its financial priorities that is annually reviewed. I mean, it seems like a long, but I like seeing you right about, you know, with keeping state guidelines with this one. That
is annually reviewed for alignment.
Right, but I mean, Sam saying that, adding to make sure that we keep.
Yeah,
I agree. We need to include that as part of it. It may seem long, you know, wordy, but
that's the crux of this to me, that we don't hogtie year on year. Mm-hmm. You know, conditions, other boards, et cetera.
And then, Dan, I think you know, we set up a couple action steps.
That's
right.
It's really debating your philosophy right now.
That's right.
Really
in this moment.
Can you say in district priorities?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's to ours,
I mean,
right?
We budget according to our priorities.
Right.
So if you're going to annually look at your fiscal philosophy and don't do it against your priorities, i.e. we're going to spend X amount of dollars for this purchase this year and we're going to take it out of fund balance because it's a mm-hmm. priority.
Well, it's our long-range plan, right?
Yeah.
Always.
Well, that's your district priority.
I don't like that.
Why not?
Think don't.
Going back
to the community engagement piece, I assume when you said this, you talked to somebody. Did you engage them one-on-one and explain how, you know, there may be a surplus to do this or that? Did they just didn't explain it? Did you feel if you could point to a board policy, it would, you know, assuage them to understand what was going on?
No, it's just a matter of just getting it on paper.
Is the state guideline, though, this piece, the fiscal profile stuff.
Right.
That's what you mean by that. I'm okay with that.
That's
that's what I'm hearing. Drew's been trying to say something. Go ahead.
In terms of the state guidelines issue,
there is none. It's like
there's no one.
Okay. One voice.
You know, Bob, to his credit, has done a number of modeling pieces in terms of, you know, potential cutbacks in terms of the state funding. And that actually ties back to the budget, which is something that we asked for a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for the state guidelines, I mean, I think we do that pretty effectively.
I think the state guidelines is what the group said before, John, was there was value to that recognition, you know, that maintaining that recognition if at all possible, and not wanting to slip from that. And that's why that language, I think, is in there.
Right.
So
and then we heard...
a stakeholder that sees no value in that.
Well, but we heard from... Too. Yeah, and I see which... I know what you're saying, John, but we did hear from Bob Cicerella at the last finance meeting, and he has stated this before, that within the world of school-based finance and bonds and all those other things, it makes a difference that you have this status on our bond rating, and that makes a difference on costs, etc. So we're hearing that from our internal, you know, me.
Okay.
I want to give, you know,
let me ask, are we comfortable in a draft mm-hmm. with this goal?
Yes.
With John's objection to the reference to state guidelines?
I don't.
I'm okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've got three goals. Is there another goal that you're going to have to come back to develop at some later time? Is there an area we've missed?
I think we're missing that big bucket of curriculum.
Okay.
And what around
not
curriculum?
It's a board goal, not a long-range plan. And the long-range plan goal is pretty explicit.
So where does the thought of foreign language, is that
it's in the long-range plan.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what I would suggest, you know, because this is stuff you are going to do. And
right.
So if
right.
you have a curriculum
I'm not
goal,
suggesting. I don't want to develop curriculum or anything like that.
Then you have to think about the curriculum goal from a standpoint of what will the board do?
What I would ask is that all of us go back and reread that particular section in the long-range plan. And if there's anything that pops out for you, then let's bring it up. And if that can become a board goal, appropriately so, then we can discuss
well,
that.
Well, the board goal can be to support and move the district to a 21st century education facility.
Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly ties into our facility stuff too.
But okay, so you want to come back to your next meeting revisiting these goals plus giving consideration to a curriculum goal.
Yeah, I think there's a gap there. I have to think more about. Maybe it goes back to my earlier statement of, you know, the board supporting moving from a curriculum foundation to a curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage you to go because
I really think some of that's in there.
So you have maybe some ideas yeah. relative to that too. The action plan, I would just tell you, is not a public document. It's an internal working document. Though we may, once we finalize it, we'll probably put some kind of action strategy in with the plan and post it on the web. But
mm-hmm.
what you have now is a working document that guides us, and it's our first draft of it. So. Okay, so you have three goals. Dan, I know
I have to take my daughter to camp, so I have to leave.
That's okay. Is there anything you'd like to say to us in terms of reflection on the day, plus deltas, things we need to do differently?
No, I'm pleased with what we've done, and I look forward to the draft of the goals.
Okay, and we'll try to come back for a full day two half days in August.
Yeah.
We could do a Friday night, a Saturday morning. We could do a full day Saturday.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. What'd you say?
First rainy day in August.
First rainy day in August.
Can you predict that for us?
Okay. It's 11:49. This is an opportunity for us to just kind of decompress, talk a little bit about the day, things that you think went well, things that didn't go so well, or that you think we should do differently next time. Did we observe our agreements? And how do we do on those?
I'm okay. I think we did, you know, I think we had a good open on communication. I think we had a big discussion.
Mm-hmm. I think there was only one moment where we kind of devolved into too many people talking at once. Yep. But otherwise, I think...
We didn't have one conversation up there, that's why.
That's right.
That's right.
So we stayed on that, Sam. We just no.
Yeah. We did a good job on staying time focused. That mm-hmm. worked out better than I would have expected it to. But mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's okay.
How about structure? Things to do differently next time.
I thought it was very productive. I thought we had good board work. Mm-hmm. Good job with the time we spent.
Give yourselves a pat on the back.
Yep. Well, under the area of honesty, I would be dishonest if I didn't say that with phone stuff, I think that can be a problem. I know that we're all tied to phones and everything. I just turn mine off because I know I have emails coming in, but I want us to be a little more cognizant of that. But I think we did a great job in moving through and staying, knowing that this is our first, you know, team meeting together, workshop meeting together. There's a lot of stuff that we wanted to level set. And I'm really proud of the fact that we were able to ask some good pointed hard questions and do the probing, because again, that's something I want to work on, and I think we did that well.
Good probing.
Yeah.
You set good goals and now you're ready to develop your plans to enact those goals, and that's, you know, that will be even more challenging when we come back to our next meeting, and I think that's why we probably, you know, should either do 2 half days or a full day, and that's
my perspective, I think while it's often difficult to set aside 2 separate times to meet,
mm-hmm.
I do think it is very hard for us to stay on task with these kind of conversations more than 4 hours.
For a whole day, yeah.
For a whole day. I just feel like we lose it, want to get out of here.
No, it's just physically, it's hard.
So you could do Saturdays, 2 half days on Saturday.
You know, your suggestion on the Friday night thing is probably not a bad idea. Like a Friday night, and then the next day, Saturday, like to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, especially in the summer, people want to be outside. It's just when we're away from our families on Monday nights and are due to our different schedules. I just think giving up 2 Saturdays, I know personally the number of things that, you know, we all make sacrifices for, and I mm-hmm. had to sacrifice a lot today. So I just think Saturdays are tough for people, but mm-hmm. so if we can minimize,
mm-hmm. we could do 2 nights, we could do 2 weeknights.
And I think there's value in the reflective right. time in between, where we go away and we come back. Mm-hmm. You know,
In the same token, I think it's good to maintain the momentum. I kind of like the Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Or you do a Thursday,
you don't lose
Saturday.
The momentum.
Mm-hmm. If you want, I mean, you know, right. people like Friday. People like this. Sorry.
I know. I just would rather have a reflection. I like.
Have a day.
Otherwise,
then
you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. And maybe it's a Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday or something. You know, something where you have that time. And Mondays, we've always said Mondays are board night, so people shouldn't schedule anything on Mondays because that's our board time. But I think we all know, coming from, you know, work, sometimes you show up at 6, you're having dinner, and you're talking, and by 10 o'clock, you're like,
well, maybe we could do a Monday night in August, like the third Monday night or something,
mm-hmm.
and then follow it that Saturday with,
I'm already thinking family commitments in August, but follow it that Saturday with, that gives you a, you know, we're still pretty compressed in terms of time. Mm-hmm.
Well, the last Monday in August is the 29th. Maybe do it at the end of the month. Or is that
I'd rather do that after school.
Is that
after school starts, then I know I'm not doing vacation.
Oh, you'd rather do it after school starts. So do it right away in September.
Yeah.
Or you know, that, again, Thursday to Saturday or something like that. Or Wednesday to Saturday, the 31st.
Should we look at the first week of August? I mean, the first week of September?
I will, yeah. Because
then we're back in work mode. I
got a vacation in August. I just don't know when that is.
Okay. Yeah.
We could do the first week of September.
Yeah, John's, you're on vacation in July.
Yeah,
but I think that's the week. First
week of September?
Yeah, first week.
Is it on your calendar?
Is that Labor Day week?
Labor
Day is the 5th.
Yeah.
But
that would be Labor Day. Well, why don't we float some dates out and, you know, if people could be good about getting back quickly, then we can lock it in.
I think it's good. I don't know. I'll have to look. I think
And I'm just throwing out, Monday, August 29th, we do not have a board meeting scheduled. I mean, we have one the 8th.
That's Ron's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Well, Ron. Ron could come, I suppose. Yeah, he would want to be here.
When is it?
That is...
Isn't that the 24th? Isn't it like the first day of school?
Okay. Yeah, the 24th is... you mean the Glenbard Parents Series
people? Yeah,
that's 24th, that evening 24th. At 7, yeah.
I was going to say, or, you know, looking at the 31st, and then you're looking at, or, you know, the time, maybe, or if you go...
Yeah, we could do Wednesday and Saturday again to have some reflection time. All right, well, we'll send out some dates. End of
okay.
September, end of August, beginning September.
All right, 11:54.
Huh?
Come on. I mean, we have to meet on the
20th. He did
well. No. I didn't hear you say this. So, like, the book club.
No, there's other dates. There's other dates. I said it out loud.
Oh, we have a board meeting at 12.
12, yeah, I just went. That's fine, so I just came back with paper.
Okay. All right, so what else? That's it.
That's it. Again, President's meeting on the 30th of June if you want to come. Have a good board meeting. Thank you, Drew, for taking that.
And if anybody wants to meet with me on Tuesday, that's certainly okay,
yeah,
too.
I'm not here, but
all right,
just
wait,
let me know.
So
let's we need to adjourn the meeting. I do want to note that on your table I left the principles of governance as well as a little article on effective teams.
Right, this is the team one. So I'll get this to Sam. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need a motion to adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.